Bye.
Morty, you'll let people in from the waiting room?
Yes.
Chaim is having trouble connecting.
Let's remember where we were up to. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph talking about Shlamim or Lashlishi, right? We pointed out Shlamim or Lashlishi is a funny bird. It's a status that does not exist in what we call Zvachim here, meaning in Karbonos, they're eaten for one day, Karbonos eaten for one day, you eat them day and night, then you burn them the next morning. I think we had that on the board. There's no limbo stage in between. Shlamim, there's a limbo stage in between. You eat them for a day, a night, another day. You don't do anything the next night. You burn them on the morning of the third day, which is exactly what we learned in our Gemara right here. The question is, what's the nature of that limbo state? What do we say about Shlamim or Lashlishi? So we mentioned last time the Machlokes Amoraim. I'll just briefly review. 1 second. The Machlokes Amoraim in Zvachim Daf Nun Vavam Beis. We had a Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkia as to whether it was no sar or not. Right? And the corollary of that was if you thought you would do it when you shechted the carbon, you thought you would eat it on the third night. Does that make it pickle, or does that make it totally innocuous? So, what did we say? We said that, according to Chizkia, it's not no sar. Just not allowed to eat it. Okay, what's the nature that just not allowed to eat it? You know, is it like some partial no sar? I wanted to suggest that it's not a half no sar. It's not no sar at all. I wanted to suggest that it's just you're not allowed to eat it, maybe because the mitzvah of achila doesn't apply. When the mitzvah of achila doesn't apply, it's not absolute no sar, but you're on the heter to eat kachim. Okay, not no sar, but aser ba'achila nonetheless. Why? Maybe because there's no mitzvah achila. Okay, that's Chizkia. However, Rabbi Yochanan says in Zvachim, and if you look in the little letters here, it's we paskin the Mishnah, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. There's also a Tanya Kavasei Rabbi Yochanan. There's a price that supports him. Rabbi Yochanan says it is no sar. Again, the main nafkmina, direct nafkmina, being no sar, is that you eat it, your chayav kares on the third night. And the corollary is that if when you shecht it, you think you're going to eat it on the third night, it becomes pickle. And anyone who eats it at any time is chayav karis. So that is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says it is no sar. You're chayav karis for eating it. Just there's some reason you don't burn it, right? So why don't we burn it? That is where we left off, and that is not discussed explicitly in, or even, you know, implicitly in Maseches Vachim. But that ties into a sugya in Yevamos, which is a tangent of discussion of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is also something you do during the day, you don't do at night. The Gemara is discussing whether Bris Milah, we all know that Bris Milah can be done a day, not in the night. Okay, it's not a topic. The question is, that's on the eighth day, not the night. How about the ninth, 10th, 11th? Right, so even Machlokas, can you do it at night or not? Meaning, if you do something late, can you do it at night or not? So the Gemara throws in here as a tangent, as a parallel discussion of burning shlamim. Burning shlamim is like bris milah in that it's something where you do it in the day, not at night. And there's something where there's the day you do it, and then you also might happen to be delayed and do it at a later date. So what does it say here? It says here, Ki hadi yasa Rabbi Yochanan gadarsh no sar bizmanu inu nisraf el bayom. Shelo bizmanu nisraf bein bayom bein malayla. On the third day, it's only burnt on the third day, not on the night before the third day. That's what our sugya said right here in Pesachim and many places in Shas. What's not discussed elsewhere in Shas, says Rabbi Yochanan, but afterwards, on the fourth night, the fifth night, the sixth night, you can burn it whether during the day or at night. You're allowed to burn nosar at night, just not on the third night. That's Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Elazar says Rabbi Elazar, Ve'eser Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Ein li ela nimol shmini she'ein nimol ol b'yom. Minayin l'rabos, l'tisha, l'asar, l'chadosh, l'shnei masar, tam lomar, uvi uvayom. He says, hold on a second. Here's one brisa that says, which is the way we pass it, by the way, not only can't you do the bris milah on the eighth night, you can't even do it on the ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th night, you can never do bris milah at night. That's how we pass it. Why? Because it says, ubayom. Ubayom, bayom means the eighth day, ubayom means even the ninth, it has to be in the day, even the 10th, it has to be in the day, even the 11th, it has to be in the day. And even though there's another Tana who doesn't darsh ubayom, because the vav's not enough, over here, where it says, vihanosar, with an extra vav, hey, vav hey darish. So everyone would darshan that, says Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Ishtik, Rabbi Yochanan was silent. Afterwards, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, where's this guy making up drushes from? Rish Lakish says it's not him. He found it in the Torah's Kohanim, also called the Sifra, the halachic medrash from the Tanaim to Sefer Vayikra. So Rabbi Yochanan went and, you know, memorized the whole Sifra. Okay, but let's keep in mind, there's something that's a little ambiguous here. Clearly, this brisa about bris milah was something that Rabbi Elazar was mechadish Rabbi Yochanan, that the Makor was a Torah's Kohanim, and that Rabbi Yochanan took very seriously. We take this brisa very seriously. The question is, does that necessarily mean that we make a sushna, we extrapolate from bris milah to nosar? Right? So it's not so clear. It would seem to be the pashat shot of this Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan accepted everything Rabbi Elazar said. Right? When it's Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Elazar, we're always going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Question is, did Rabbi Yochanan accept the correction from Rabbi Elazar? Or no? He thought it was an important brisa that he needed to know. He needed to amp up his bekias in brisas, but he didn't accept the halachic shita that Rabbi Elazar argued with him. That's a little ambiguous. The simple shot, I think, would be that he accepted everything Rabbi Elazar said. But it's not 100% clear. So we have here machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. We're not sure in the end. It's not that we're not sure if we pass like Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar. We always pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Elazar. We're just not sure if Rabbi Yochanan was convinced to change his mind or not. That is the machlokes Rishonim. So here you have two opinions. And lechora, both these opinions are within Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because Rabbi Yochanan said one, and he may or may not have accepted the other, right? Then nothing with Chizkiya. So then why don't we burn it? So here we have two opinions in the Gemara in Yevamos. Right? Meaning we end up with three possible days. One day is that it's not Nosar. One day is Rabbi Elazar. And maybe Rabbi Yochanan the Maskana. He says, you know why we don't burn it at night? Because we never burn Nosar at night. Burning Nosar is like a type of avodah. Right? Maybe it's not a formal avodah with the same status as shechita and zrika, etc. But burning nosar is a kind of avodah. I'm speculating. Maybe it's an avodah on the level the Gemara says even truma is an avodah. And not really one of the like ikra avodahs of the Beis HaMikdash. But not something you need to wear big day kahuna and all the rules for it. But it's still a kind of avodah. It's a ritual. And the rituals of the Beis HaMikdash, most of them can only be done during the day. Many of them can only be done during the day. So according to Rabbi Elazar and maybe Yochanan Maskan, it's very poshut. Why don't we burn it? Because it is total nusar, but you're never allowed to burn nusar at night. It's just something that's not, it's a daytime, it's in a nighttime mitzvah. Why don't we burn it on the third night? Because the night. Because you never burn those at night. Okay, then you'll ask, why don't we put on tzitzit at night? Okay, depending on Russian, rabbit, etc. Why don't we fill in at night? Why don't we shake a little bit at night? Why don't we show for at night? The answer is, because there's something, there's things during the day, not at night. You want to philosophize? You can philosophize. But, you know, we don't need to philosophize. Yeah, half the things in the Torah, you have them during the day, not at night. All the Karbonos have Bayom, and almost all of them we say you can only do it during the day, except for Hector Halam Beivar, which is a special pasuk, Yolam of Dakal Ilam Zechad Boker. But that's obvious. Here it's more of a Chiddush, because there's not a real Avoda. So here it's more of a Chiddush, like there it's Pashut. But you would compare it just like all the other Karbonos say Bayom, so you're just doing, so it's total Losar. The reason you don't burn it at night is because it's not nighttime. However, we have Rabbi Yochanan at first, which you notice many Rishonim pass like Rabbi Yochanan at first, right? Says what does Rabbi Yochanan say at first? He says no. He says Shalom bismano sorfim no sar b'layla. Really, you're allowed to burn no sar at night. Burning no sar is not a daytime mitzvah. Burning no sar is a 24-hour day mitzvah. There's only one night you can't burn no sar, which is the third night of Shlomit. That's called bismano, right? We only can't burn it bismano equals or lishlishi. Okay, then that becomes funny. Meaning, according to Chizkiah, we understand at least a little why it's in limbo. Because it's not no sir, but you still can't eat it. According to Rabbi Yochanan Maskana, we understand why it's in limbo. It's not really in limbo. It's total no sir, totally ready to be burnt. It's just technical reasons you can't burn at night. There's a side problem, right? There's a side problem with burning at night, which is you can't burn on any night. Tomorrow you also can't burn at night. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, what he said at first, which many showed him soon as his maskona, then it's funny. You're allowed to burn nosar at night. Only tonight you're not allowed to burn nosar. So if you're allowed to burn nosar at night, and it's total nosar, and you're allowed to burn nosar at night, why can you only not burn it this night? And if you don't believe that, that's a real shita. So I threw out some makoros here. The Rambam assumes that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, and the Rambam says explicitly you can never burn nosar at night, right? But many other Rishonim assume Rabbi Yochanan didn't change his mind. The Ritva and the Ramban on Shabbos assume that after Zmano, you're allowed to burn nosar at night. The Ritva and the Ramban on Shabbos assume. And they take that as a Dover Pashut. And the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz here also takes another repulsion. He doesn't even think he's saying anything, right? He doesn't even say, oh, and we paskin whatever, whatever. The Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz right here just says, like, isn't it the most obvious thing in the world? Doesn't everyone know, without any shadow of a doubt, that you're allowed to burn, that you're allowed to burn no certain night, just not bismano, right? The lashon of the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz right here is, if I find it here, don't we say that? Like, isn't that the most passionate thing in the world? Right? So, the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz, who passed like Rabbi Yochanan, the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz in Pesachim, the Ramban in Shabbos, and the Ritva in Shabbos, all found on the Makor Sheet. So, even though that's not the Rambam, right? I guess the Rambam might be the biggest posek in Kachim in terms of writing halachas for him, but a lot of Rishonim assume this as a Dover Pashut. So, they don't even bother to point out some machlokas. Just like it's obvious. Oh, Rabbi Lazar argued, it's obvious that he didn't listen to that. He just thought it was a new price he hadn't heard. He needed the kiyas and prices about Prismila, but he didn't listen to about Kodshim. So now the question just becomes, what's the svara of Rabbi Yochanan now? What's the svara of Rabbi Yochanan now? So, that is dealt with by the, well, what do you think? What is this for Rabbi Yochanan? Chizkiah is a good svara. You know I don't burn it? Because it's not no sir. Rabbi Elazar is a good svara. You know I don't burn it? Because it's a technical side problem. You're never allowed to burn at night. But Rabbi Yochanan himself says, you're allowed to burn at night. Only this night you're not allowed to burn it. And it's real no sir. So if it's real no sir, why are you only not allowed to burn this night? And therefore what?
Therefore the time is only 2 days.
But he said it is Milsar and Yerchai of Kares. So Liam is saying what the Grizz says in the Havamina, which could be, meaning the Grizz rejects his Havamina since it's against Tosos. You don't have to be with the Tosos, Tarpan and Ritva had a day that this week is Tosos. But what's the Svara? Liam says the Grizz is Havamina. What is the Svara? What's the Svara? So, says Liam, says the Grizz, right? Okay, we'll give Liam credit. I don't know who said it first. In this room. Fine, we'll put the Grizz in his first parish. What does he say? He says, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not total Mosar. It's no sar enough to be high of kares. It's no sar enough that if you think you're going to do an advance, it's pigle. But it's not total no sar. It's not no sar linyan sreifa, which is a big finish that you have like no sar linyan sreifa and no sar linyan chayiv kares is a big finish. Says the Grizz in the first day, meaning he makes it closer to Chizkiah. He doesn't say these words. Makes it closer to Chizkiah. It's not total no sar. Just Chizkiah says it's really not mostly no sar. It's mainly not Nosar, because you're not Chayiv Kares. And the Grizz says, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's mainly Nosar, but not 100% Nosar. Right? So you would say it's similar to Chizkiah. What does the Grizz say? The Grizz says that it's Nosar, L'inyan Kares, but it's not Nosar, L'inyan Srifa, meaning it's not 100% Nosar, it's 90% Nosar, meaning 90% Nosar, enough that you're Chayiv all the Averos, but it's not 100% Nosar, not enough to burn Hashem's Karbonos, right? It's 90% Nosar, right? Again, obviously, I mean up that number. But again, you want to say 90%, not 9%, because you're Chayiv Karis, right? Meaning if you do it by accident, by mistake, rather, then you would bring katas, etc. Basically, would give you malchus if you ate it on purpose. Vit, hule. So that's the first data. But then he changed his mind. We'll see why in a moment. And he says, no, maybe I have a different shot. And here, again, he's not saying what it's similar to. But I would say this is similar to Rabbi Elazar. What does he say? He says, really, you can burn it at night. But the mitzvah of burning, there's a mitzvah of burning, or a din of burning, is only chal during the day. Once the mitzvah of shreif is chal during the day, it continues even at night. But the mitzvah of shreif has to be chal during the day. So let's think about it. Is the mitzvah of shreif chal the first day? No, you're still eating it. Is the mitzvah of shreif chal the second day? No, you're still eating it. Is the mitzvah of shreif chal at night? No, it can't be chal at night. Is the mitzvah of shreif chal the third day? Yes, it's chal the third day. And once it's chal, it sticks. He's halfway like Rabbi Elazar. You can't, you're allowed to burn at night once the din was chal, but the ikar din of shreifa is during the day. At night is just like tashlum, it's just late shreifa. It's just makeup shreifa. But the ikar shreifa is during the day. Let's go back to Hector Chalav Meimari. You can never have something l'chachila d'zman to burn it is at night. It's just that if you have something that's d'zman to burn it during the day, like the meats and the fats that we discussed, etc., then if you don't burn it during the day, you can burn it at night. So that's what he wants to say, says the Grizz. In his Haskana, which again, I don't think is Mukher, it's only Mukher, according to some Shitas. He says no. He says, it's no Sargomor Bilel Shlishi, but Din Srefa, I would even say Mitzvah Srefa, Chal Rak Bayom. Kavan Shechal Mutter Lisrov Gambalayla. Once, but the mitzvah of Sreifa, the Iker mitzvah of Sreifa is only during the day. You might even go so far as this, the real mitzvah is to burn it right away during the day. Tashlumen, if you need to do it late, you can do Tashlumen at night. But the Iker mitzvah is Chal during the day. So it's 100% no sir. It's just that you can't burn it at night. Oh, you can burn it at night. No, it's not that you can't burn at night. It's that the mitzvah burning isn't chal at night. The mitzvah burning is chal during the day. Once it's chal, it sticks. That is the grizz. What's the nafgamina of the grizz? He doesn't say it's a nafgamina. He just says, because, you know, the grizz didn't read as many Rishonim as we do. You know, he read Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam mostly. And, you know, the Ron, if it's in the back of the Rif, the Rav as well. He didn't have this Ramban and Ritva that are in the brackets here, so now the Tosfos, of Herod's here, etc. So he only had Tosfos. And so he says, he doesn't say, oh, Nafkamina is Machlokes Rishonim. He says, Nafkamina is my first shot doesn't work for Tosfos, so I'll retract it and say the second shot works for Tosfos. But Tosfos is only one opinion. One opinion about what? The following question. How about Nosar of a Karban Pesach? Now, I know Karban Pesach is not Shlomo. It's only eaten one day. But nonetheless, there's an interesting question. When do you burn the Nosar of a Karban Pesach? So you don't burn it on Yudalad, which is day one. You have to eat it at the Seder that night. You don't burn it on Leil Tesvav. That's the Seder night. That's when you're supposed to eat it. Do you burn it the morning of Tesvav? Why not?
Yontif. Ain't so from Kutchim Yontif.
Yeah, you can't burn it on Yontif. So, okay. Do you burn it the night of Tesayin? You burn it the night of Tesayin.
Okay.
It says, the most of Siru Menu at Boker, talking about Karban Pesach. What does it sound like? Don't leave it over till the morning of the 15th. And what's left over until the morning of the 16th? How you should burn. Says Tosos, you burn it the morning of the 16th. You're not allowed to burn it the first night of Cholamot. Right? You're not allowed to burn it Matzah Yontif, first night of Cholamot. You have to wait till the morning to burn it. And the Ramban and Ritva discuss this on Shabbos, and they have 2 days about this. And their first day is Malchad, you burn it at night. You burn it the first night of Chol HaMoed. How do they, or what does the Drush of Chazal mean? Closest thing to Drush of Chazal means, and why do you say Drush of Chazal? Shoot, Drush of Mikrez, will Sur Menu at Boker. Don't leave it till the morning of the 15th. But no Sur Menu at Boker, but it's just what's left over the morning 15th. You burn the morning 15th. Don't be up to it. That's Shoot, Drush of Mikrez. We are Karaites, maybe we care. But Chazal say no. What does Chazal say? Then why did it say at Boker twice? The time of your burn is later than the time you can't eat it because not the Yontif. So what does that Russia also says in this, the second day in Ramban and Ritva, but those two men are at Boker, don't leave it till the morning of the 15th. On those men are at Boker, what's left till the morning of the 16th, burn it on the 16th, but not at night. Says the Ramban and the Ritva in their first day, no, those two men are at Boker. Don't leave it up to the morning of the 15th. Vanosar menu, and what's left, ad boker ba'ish disrofu. Burn it before the morning of the 16th at night. Right? So they argue whether Chazal or Darshan. They're clearly saying the second ad boker means a later time. Doesn't mean you wait till this morning of Chol HaMoed and burn it, or you burn it before the morning of Chol HaMoed at night. So this is the nafgamina, says the grizz, between his two shatim. What's the nafgamina? Nafgamina is Shreifas Pesach Sheni Totak. That was left over. When do you burn the Karban Pesach? Because it's really Zvachim not Shlomim. You should just burn on the second day, but you can't because it's Yotiv. So what do you say? So if you said that, if you said the reason, let's hold the cup here. The reason you save a Shlomim for the third day is because it's not total Nosar Yedling and Sreifa. But Zvachim is total Nosar Yedling and Sreifa on the second day. So what would you say? You would say, when do you burn it? This is the Ramban and the Ritva, again, the first day on Leil Tesfayin. Why? Because Zvachim, there's no Machlokas. Zvachim, I mean, as opposed to Shlomim, are Nosar Yedling. Let me say it a little better. Because it was Nosar Le'inyan Sreifa from the morning of Tesvav. Already on the morning, the first day Yontif was Nosar Le'inyan Sreifa. If it hadn't been Yontif, you would have burned it. Just as it was Yontif, you have to wait till the night. But if you say the second shot, then it's not Machlokes. Maybe you could say, you don't have to say, you could say, like Tosfos, that the Grizz quotes, what does Tosfos say? Nope. Yom Tesayin. Why would you burn on Yom Tesayin? Because the mitzvah of Shreifa can only be chal during the day. And you just have to have one thing. The mitzvah is not chal when it would be alav. Right? That part you could have disagreed with. But if you make an assumption, the mitzvah is not chal when it would be alav. Therefore, when is the mitzvah of Shreifa's Pesach chal? No, sir, chal. Not on the 14th. It's still good. Not the night of the 15th. That's when you're at the Seder. Not the day of the 15th because it's Yom Tif. Not the night of the 16th because it can't be chal at night. So you have to wait till the day of the 16th to only be chal at night. Again, the reason I say could say like Tosos, not must say like Tosos, is because you're assuming the mitzvah Shreifa can't be chal, but it would be a lav. So we could have said the mitzvah Shreifa is chal. When it's a lav, you just don't do it. But it's not a crazy assumption saying a mitzvah is not chal when the Torah forbids you to commit to it to fulfill it. Okay, so then you say like Tosos, Yom Tesvav. Why? Because it's the first opportunity for mitzvah Shreifa Lachol to bichal, how do you say bichal in English? To take effect. Okay, so these
can I ask
are
a question?
Please.
According to the Grizit Sfora, why does Tosus need a pasuk to learn you can only you burn it on the 16th day?
Ah, you need the pasuk to teach you it's not Docha Yontif. Because if it had been Docha Yontif, you would have burned it on the 15th day. You don't need the pasuk to tell you not to burn it on the night of the 16th. You need the pasuk to tell you it's not Docha Yontif. Because you would have had a havamin of Asei Docha Lo Sase. Or of Mitoch Shehut L'Tzorach Hotunami Shelo L'Tzorach.
Okay.
Okay, now.
Could you say something else? Could you possibly say something like the Grizit second thing? There's a concept of Nosar Bismano. And if you haven't done Nosar Bismano, it's like Nosar of Nosar. And Nosar of Nosar is so far gone, you don't have to worry about when you do it. You just have to get rid of it so you can do it at night.
You're saying Nosar, you have to worry when you get rid of it. Nosar of Nosar is so far removed from Kachim that you don't even have any ritual requirements of how to get rid of it. Is that what you're saying, Morty? Perhaps. Okay, so the truth is, it could be, and this is a big fish. You might have saved for Tulsa being a parrot here, which I'm not sure that I want to get into because I do want to move on. But maybe you could say something like, you know what? There's two levels. There's Nosar Bismano is the mitzvah of Shreifas Nosar Bismano. The Achronim discussed, and we've seen this in various things, not in terms of this, that there are two kinds of Shreifa in the Torah. There's things that's a mitzvah to be Soreif. It's like a ritual, a kiyum. And there are things that dinam the Shreifa. What you do with them, you burn them. But it's not an independent kiyum to burn them. There's din Shreifa and mitzvah Shreifa. For example, the Rambam is Beduya, could the Achronim say that Nosar Pigel of a mitzvah the Shreif. But Tameh and other psulim, it's only a din Shreifa. I mean, that's going to be whether it's listed on one of the mitzvahs or not. Right? That's what many Achronim are Medayik in the Rambam. The Rambam says, it's a mitzvah to burn, no certain pigel. And he says, and no certain pigel and tell me, get burnt. Okay. Many are going to make this deal. Anyway, maybe what Morty's trying to say is that, no sar bisman was a mitzvah straight for the mitzvah is to burn no sar on the day of no sar. If you didn't burn it on the day, unlike Brismila, it's not still a mitzvah. If you didn't burn it on the day, it's not a mitzvah. It's just a din sreifa. And Morty's perhaps suggesting because once it's like double nosar, it's so disgusting and far removed from kachim that it's not even a mitzvah. Not only is it not a mitzvah to use it, it's not even a mitzvah to burn it. You could theoretically say that the first day is the mitzvah of Shreifa. That has to be done during the day. After the second day, it's so far gone, there's not even a mitzvah to burn it. It's just garbage. And garbage gets burnt, but it's not a kiyum to burn it. That would be a big chiddush. L'chor Tosfos Peretz has to hold this, at least in a half minute. You can never tell. Someone has a weird, if you've tried to follow Tosfos Peretz, it's one of the things we have to hold top, like why you guys aren't used to doing. Like if we'd said this and we'd said that, then it would work out this way. But we should be used to doing. But Tosfos Peretz said that maybe if it hadn't said the drasha in our Gemara, we might have thought that you can eat it on the third night, you burn it on the third day, but you can't burn it on the fourth night. But you can't burn it on the fifth, sixth, seventh night. Why? If you could burn it on the third day, why can't you burn it the following night? Neither of the Grizit Sforas work. It's already no certainly you're burning. You burnt it that day. And the din of strafe was already chal. It was chal that day. Why can't you burn it that night? You have to say no. The first 24 hours is regular nosar. And there, it's a kiyum to burn it. And the kiyum has to be done during the day. After 25 hours passed, it's now nosar to nosar. It's garbage. It's not karbanos that are possible. It's karbanos that are garbage. Garbage you can burn any time. Because it's not, burning it is not a kiyum if they ask. Okay, that's a big chiddush. That's more or less what Morty's suggesting, if I'm not mistaken. I have a shtika phone code from him. Either that or his connection is bad. Nope, I saw him blink. Maybe you could say that, unlike the Grizz, right? But that would be a big chiddush. I wasn't even going to put it on the board. Maybe I still won't put it on the board. But the Tos Man and Peretz doesn't work with either Pshat or the Grizz. Okay, I'll put it on the board briefly. But it's a big chiddush. Says Tos Man and Peretz works with neither Pshat. He says in a Havamina. Again, you could say it's just a Havamina, and we don't pass like it, but still, even a Havamina has the Mesfara. That Nechal or Legimel Nisraf Begimel Eino Nisraf or Ledalid Nisraf Mikan Ulahaba Afilu Balayla. That is the Havmi, the Tosu banner, it's right here that was in the brackets. That works for neither of the Grizz's Saras. He's clearly working for Bilkin, he says. He quotes Lashon. You can't say the reason you don't burn or the Dalit is because it wasn't total Losar yet. You should have burned it this morning, it was total Losar. You can't say the mitzvah strength wasn't Chal yet, it was Chal this morning. The Chor, the Svara you have to say, is a third Svara. What does the Svara have to be? But it's a tremendous Kiddush. And I really have trouble believing it's true, but it seems to be. You have to say, no. First day of Nosar, it is regular Nosar, and Srefa is a Kiyum, so it's only by Yom. Already by the second day of Nosar, meaning 24 hours and 1 minute past, then it is Nosar to Nosar. It is, almost Chulin Gemurin. It loses Kedusha. And once it loses Kedusha, then the Srefa is not a Kiyum. The Srefa is just a din. It's just a disposal. And the Srefa is just a disposal. You can do it anytime. Okay, why do you have to burn it? Maybe you have to burn it so that, no one's nichshel in it, so that it's really gone, or something like that. Perhaps you can even have nafkaminas. Could you get rid of it in a different way than burning? Obviously, you can't just, throw it into the garbage pile. Because then someone might be nifshel. You can't just bury it. Someone might be nifshel. Let's say, can you pour acid on it to dissolve it? Maybe he would say, on the first day, you can't pour acid to dissolve it. It has to be a formal srefa. Just like the mizbeach has its srefa, this has its srefa. There's kosher srefa and pasul srefa. But on the fourth day, just pour acid on it if you want. Okay, it's actually a big mach. They didn't have acid. These were shown. Big mach looks to be shown. Can you feed kachim to, well, at least truma to meya, can you feed it to an animal? Does that count as srefa? Okay, kachim, we wouldn't. Anyway, yesh l'ayin. Okay, that would be a big chiddush. I wasn't going to put in the board such a chiddush. So in the end, we have many shitas as to shlomo or shlishi. We thought it was a very posh thing, right? From a practical perspective. All right, you don't eat it, you don't burn it. Why? Because that's what we darshan from the psukim. But if you get into it, the Gemara already, you see how bothered the Gemara was by this, because two separate Gemaras had the Amoraim struggling with how to understand it, because they had... They knew it was an unclear concept. Again, Chizkiya says it's not Nosar, just an Isra Achila. Why? You can call it a little Nosar. That's what someone told you last week. I would say maybe the lack of mitzvah Achila. And Rabbi Yochanan says Nosar. Within it being Nosar, the Ramah Paskin, the Rabbi Yochanan changes mind and says it's Nosar. You really could burn it the third night. Just technically, you can't burn at night, but it's not because the third night. It's just because the night. There's nothing special about the third night for the Ramah. It's the same as the fourth and fifth night. It's total Nosar, but you don't burn at night. The interesting sheet is Rabbi Yochanan himself, assuming he didn't change his mind like many were shown him, that you can burn those at night, just not in this night. This is the only night you can't eat and you can't burn. On the second, on the Orla Shane you can eat, on the Orla B Hamishi for the rest of eternity you can burn. Only this night it's in limbo. Why only this night it's in limbo? So you have three shots in with nafkaminas. The Grizz says maybe it's not total nosar, even though it's mostly nosar. Then the Grizz says it's nosar, but that. You can burn at night, but the mitzvah of Shreifa can only start during the day. And we have the Nafkamina, crazy. Morning until soon in Peretz is already okay. Already makes you think that there's something to it. But you have to say, no, the first 24 hours is like a higher level of nosar. And it needs to be burned with a kiyum, with specialness. And therefore, it's only during the day. And the say, after more than 24 hours, it's already nosar to nosar. It's already super nosar. And super nosar is so not chashav that you're just getting rid of it. It's not really a mid kiyum to burn it.
Why wouldn't the Gemara mention that? Why wouldn't the Mishnah in Temura mention that as the possibility? I mean, Nosar is minan nisrafim, v'lo minan nikborim.
No, either way is minan nisrafim. There's just two kinds of nisrafim, right? Remember the Reb Chaim that will get to the Tzumatza, that there's two kinds of nisrafim. There's nisrafim that's a mitzvah of srifa and a kiyam, and nisrafim that is just the din of srifa.
That Tosfos said that it's just this, but the Gemara says that kind of nisrafim is only a suggestion. You know, it's a path. The Gemara there.
Okay, but I would assume that it could that the Gemara really means that it might be kolo both types, and they're just talking about the type that's not a kilo. But I'm not sure. Maybe we'll talk about it. Leon. No, because the fourth night is still the first 24 hours. Remember, this Havamin is that it's Nechalor in the Shlishi. And that the Yalayla is Holder Chachigam B'Kachim, it's a lot of Chidushim. But that's what the Joseph Bering Peretz says. Now again, you might say, he's only saying this on Havamin. Remember, this Havamin is Nechalor in the Shlishi, which is Ligamri, not Orthodox Judaism. But it's really not Orthodox Judaism. What do you think? You think only like driving chops, not Orthodox Judaism? What are your goals yet? Right? Only the Reform eat shlomim on Orla Shlishi. It's against our entire Masorah. That's how our ancestors felt. Our ancestors were not bothered by anyone driving on Shabbos. They were bothered by the people who thought you could eat shlomim on Orla Shlishi. Trust me, none of our ancestors 2,000 years ago had any objections to anyone driving their car on Shabbos. Okay, thank you. Okay, now I think we're ready to move on to some easier inyanim. Let's go back to the Gemara of Osai. We're going to have to very, very sadly leave Kachim and go back to Loed. But don't worry, we will have some more Kachim, or at least Taros, and maybe in Kayetzman. But now we're going to spend another shear or two the other more everyday inyanim. And then, already in the last year of this man, we'll get back more into the thick of the Bikas Chametz. We'll do that a little today as well. So let's go. Says the Gemara, the first wide line of Daf Gimel. Tashma, Orshal Yom Kippur Mispalo, Sheva Misvada, Shachs Mispalo, Sheva Misvada, Mus Mispalo, Sheva Misvada, Menach Mispalo, Sheva Misvada, Ba'arvis Mispalo, Me'ein Shmona, Elsar, Rav Chanlini, Megam Leo, Lomar Shema, Bosu Mispalo, Shmona, Elsar, Shling Mosvesh, Tzarklam, Abdullah, Bechon, and Das. Okay, so the first part of this price not Shem Chiddush, and the regular Tefillos of Yom Kippur, you'd say seven brachos in Shmona Esrei and Vidoi. We all know that. The machlokes between the Tanakam and the Rechimim and Gamliel is at the end. What about Ma'ariv Motzi Yom Kippur? Right, I know. When I was growing up, Ma'ariv Motzi Yom Kippur was always a challenging spiritual moment. After the heights of Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, whatever. I won't tell you how it worked in my shul growing up with Ma'ariv Motzi Yom Kippur. Okay.
Why is
Ne'ilah not mentioned here? So it's funny because if you look at the source of Shas here, he says that this Brisa appears in two other places in Shas, and in both other places in Shas it says the Ne'ilah is followed Shevah Musvada, and then has the same Brisa. So the simple pshat is that it's a Tos Sofer that they left out Ne'ilah in Psachim. And no one bothered to make a big deal of it because it wasn't the point anyway. I'm sure you could find someone who's mefalpel as to, why our sugya didn't put in Ne'ilah, but I'm going to say the simple shot is that it should have said Ne'ilah here also. Okay, so the Tanakhama says that you say Me'ein Shmona Esrei, right? We call it Havineinu, right? You say first three, last three, and in the middle one, that summarizes the middle 13, at 12 or 13, and Rabbi Chaim Yom Leo says you have to say a full Shmona Esrei. Why? Because, like the Gemara said in the Brachos, you can't say Havineinu on Matzei Shabbos because you have to add a Tachon Antanu, and you can't add a Tachon Antanu to Havineinu. You have to add a Tachon Antanu to the full Brach of Atachonim. Alma or Urtahu, that proves that Or is Urta. He says Or Shal Yom Kippurim is before Shachris. It's obviously Maariv. Shmami, not, it is a good proof. Okay, here I just wanted to point out an interesting machlokes between the Rashbam. Here, if we get our handy dandy Maseches Yoma. Where's this? Pizayan of Days. What's the svara of the Tanakhama? What's the svara of the Tanakhama? After all, we don't usually say Havineinu. We usually say Shmona Esrei. So the svara from the Chanim and Liel is clear. I agree with your Havamina to say Havineinu, but there's a technical problem with Atzachonim. What's the technical problem? Most of the Farshim say that if you try to say Atzachonim and Havineinu, you'll get confused. Okay. But what's the svara of the Tanakhama? Why say Havineinu in the first place? So, we all would have said, like Rashi, right? What's the common sense svara? Why say Havineinu? Because we remember growing up in our local Yom Yisrael, what it was like. Everyone's in a big rush to eat because they're very hungry from the fast. That's what he said in the Torah, right? Because you're in a rush to eat and you're hungry from the fast, right? Chazal also recognized that you, the human condition, and gave you a kula. That's what Rashi says in Yoma, and what almost all the Mefarshim say there in Yoma. However, Tosfos quotes here a different shot from the Rashbam, right? So apparently, Machlok is Rashi and Rashbam. To what extent are we practical and balikratam and take into account that people are hungry or not? So Rashi says, no, people are hungry. Let them say the bridge phone Esrei. And the Rashbam says, now, what are you talking about? What have you been doing on Yom Kippur? You've been working on your ruchnius now because you're a little hungry. No, there's a more lumdish reason, says the Rashbam, because akati b'tainis chashim Yom Kippurim. Since you're still fasting, in some ways, it's like it's still Yom Kippur. But, but it's really dark, so it's really a Yom Chol. So it's half like Yom Kippur and half like Chol. On Yom Kippur, you say 7 brachos shon esrei. In Chol, you say 18. So since it's half like Yom Kippur and half like Chol, you say 7, then are 18. Right? You say Avineinu, which summarized the 18. Okay, so there's Rashbam says it's a lumdish, and Rashi says it is a practical concession to our hunger. The question, of course, in the Rashbam, that always bothered me in the Rashbam, and maybe, did anyone else have something that bothered them about the Rashbam? Just very technically?
-7.
What? Why don't we always say that? Meaning, maybe, hopefully, this is what you mean. Why not say that every Motzei Shabbos? Right? Every Motzei Shabbos, you're still not doing Malacha. Right? Meaning, how does he know you're still fasting on Motzei Yom Kippur? Theoretically, could someone eat before my Motzei Yom Kippur? Yeah, but normally, we daven Motzei Yom Kippur before we break our fast. Normally, we daven Motzei Shabbos before we break our fast. So why not every Motzei Shabbos say that same svara? Why only Motzei Yom Kippur? After all, you're still Shoveis, you're still in Shabbos, but it's really Yom Chol. So why dafka on Motzei Yom Kippur? So I just wondered that about the Rashbam. Why dafka Motzei Yom Kippur? Anyone want to suggest why dafka on Motzei Yom Kippur and not in every Motzei Shabbos?
Maybe he thought like the Mandarma that you can daven Nila or Ma'ariv, Motzei Yom Kippur.
I'm not going to assume that because, again, that gets back to the Gersa, but at least the Gersa in Yoma and Nida, right, in most places that has Nila and Ma'ariv. What? Okay, which Rishon Shita are you being Rami's to? The Rambam. Right, interestingly, what's the Shita of the Rambam? The Gemara seems to darsh, I mean, the Gemara does say in one place, right? The question is just, Paschal like that, Sukya, right? That, where do we learn Tosefes from? Where do we learn Tosefes Shabbos, let's say, from? It says by Yom Kippur, B'teshal HaChodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ad Erev, Tishbisu Shabbatchem, and from that, the extra words in that Paschal were Marbi, Yefri Mosef, in the beginning Yom Kippur, that's the easy part, B'teshal HaChodesh, and then we're Marbi, Yefri Mosef, at the end of Yom Kippur, Tosefes Yom Kippurim, and then Tishbisu Shabbatchem, where Marba, that you would have to be Mosef on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, Tosefes Shabbos, right, which is quoted by all the poskim, etc. The Rambam only brings down Tosefes by Yom Kippur, right? Okay, maybe it'll apply to other Tanaisim that are not Vidoraisa as well, but only by Yom Kippur and not by Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Apparently, the Rambam thinks Tosefes is special for Yom Kippur, not for Shabbos and Yom
Kippur.
What? And Josephus and Enoi, right? and not, okay, we're not going to get into the integration of the Inoy and the Shvisa on Yom Kippur, with the getting too far afield. Anyway, so it could be the Rosh Hashanah would work more to the Rambam. If Yol Tosefes is only for Yom Kippur and not for Shabbos, then that would make sense. You could also tone it down a little. But what are the odds the Rashbam held like the Rambam? Meaning the Rashbam never read the Rambam. The Rashbam was one of the Bali Tosfos. That's not generally the sheep of the Bali Tosfos. But you know the famous Hakir. What's the famous Hakir about Tosefes Shabbos? Is it really adding to Shabbos? Or is it really adding to Shabbos? Or is it just to be on the safe side, you don't want to do the melacha until the last minute because you might chas v'shalom do the melacha on Shabbos and chal Shabbos, right? Like Chazal Darshan by chal l'kib by Yom HaShvi, Rashi said, beginning of the Bible. By chal l'kib by Yom HaShvi, Hashem finished working on Yom HaShvi. Rashi says, how could it be? Now I want to work on Shabbos. No, chas v'shalom, says the rest of Yom HaShvi. Hashem worked until the last millisecond of Friday. And so it looked like he worked on Shabbos. We humans have to stop work early, because we don't know exactly when to stop, and we'll make a mistake, and we'll be inexact. But Hashem worked till the last second, because he knows everything. Okay, so that's the question. What's Tosefes Shabbos? Are your mamash adding to Shabbos? Or are you just being on the safe side, and it's just a gzeira, not too melacha, because you might do it too late. So, Yesh L'ayin, there's 100 dafkaminas we've all probably heard this year, once or twice in our lifetime. But maybe you could say that there's a difference in Yom Kippur and everything else. Maybe you don't have to go so far as the Rambam, but maybe this is what the Rambam holds. Maybe you could say, no, Yom Kippur is like mamish, the pasuk says, betishal chodesh be'erev. Yom Kippur, you're mamish adding to the day. On Shabbos and Yontif, you're not adding to the day. You're just the gezeira that you shouldn't do halacha up to the borderline because you might accidentally cross the border. So that's like a toned-down Rambam. So it could be this Rashbam, either holds like the Rambam or like the toned-down version of the Rambam. Yeah, there's always Tosefes, but only Yom Kippur is the Tosefes really a halos in the Yom. And therefore, on Yom Tosefes, Yom Kippur, really Yom Kippur. On the other end, it's really the time of Chol. So I make this compromise. Another possibility you could say, by the way, is, and with this we will end, because I can't prove these things, just theories, that there may be a difference between, and maybe I'm saying the same thing in different words, between Inoy and Malacha. On Yom Kippur, there's an Isser Malacha and there's Inoy. On Shabbos Yom Tov, there's only an Isser Malacha. Okay, so maybe there's also an Isser Chametz on Pesach, but that's not going to change this calculation. What's the difference in the Isser Malacha and Inoy? So here, it's not so clear, but it seems very clear. In the Rambam and others, Inoy is a kiyum. Inoy is a kiyum. Inoy is a positive kiyum. I know it looks negative. Again, this is the difference between the surface level and the lavdish level. Inoy looks like an isra achila, right? You're just not doing something. That's not true. You're doing a kiyum of Inoy. We have many proofs that there's a kiyum called Inoy, especially in other Tanisim, right? If you happen to not eat, and all of a sudden you decide to fast in the middle of the day, that's not a proper fast because you happen to not eat in the morning, but you weren't doing Inoy, you weren't doing a Tainus. You know, you need a Kiyum of Tainus. So it could be that Tainus is a Kiyum. After all, the Torah never says, thou shalt not eat on Yom Kippur. We darshan that there's a unwritten law, al pitor shel peh. While it could be that Shabbos, even though it's a positive lashon of Shabbosom, right, the Rambam says the positive lashon Shabbos is an isra'se. So, if you want to say Inoy is a kiyum, but Shabbos is only an isra'se, then you could explain this Rashbam very nicely. If you could say, well, on Yom Kippur, if you're still fasting, you're adding to the kiyum of Inoy. So you're still doing something. On Shabbos, even if you're still not working, that's not doing something, because not working is not a positive accomplishment. Not working is merely a negative refraining. It's merely a heder. So I think now you could say that's why there's a difference in Tosefes. But the Maisa, what do we say to explain this great Rashbam? What's special about Yom Kippur? That much of Yom Kippur while you're fasting, you're in a dual status. You're in some very complex status. And we don't find this about every Motzei Shabbos for the Rashbam. meaning for Rashi, it's no problem. On Motzi Yom Kippur, you're in a rush to eat. Every Motzi Shabbos, you're not in a rush. What's the big rush? Oh, you want to go work? Not in a rush to work. We're like, take your time to go around the way to work. But if you're hungry, you don't want to take your time on the way to eat. That's Pashut. For the Rashbam, why is Motzi Yom Kippur special? He said either A, Aryeh said the Rambam, there's only Tosefes on Motzi Yom Kippur. There's no Tosefes Shabbos. Or maybe there's always Tosefes, but in Yom Kippur, there's a higher din of Tosefes. It's Mamish, still Yom Kippur, even though it's also Chol. And on Motzi Shabbos, it's just being careful not to be Mechal Shabbos. So you have to be careful and stay like one step away from the Aveira, you know, Siog LaTorah. But it's not Mamish Shabbos. Or the third possibility, as long as you're fasting, it's a Kiyom, so you're still doing something Yom Kippur Dik. On Shabbos, even if you refrain from Halacha, since there's no Kiyom of refraining from Halacha, just the Isser, therefore you're not doing anything, which makes it Shabbos Dik. Okay, now we're ready to move on, Rav Losai.
But can I ask something?
Yes.
What I find difficult about the Rashbam is that he relates to the number of brachos as if seven brachos expresses the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur without relating to the content of the brachos.
You're saying very, very well, which is like, you know, I understand the whole side here. You're saying the content of the 18 brachos, you're just compressing it into one. But, like, how is this partially like Yom Kippur? What makes Yom Kippur special is that we have a different content in the middle bracha. You know, how is it partially like Yom Kippur that we just have the number seven? Like, how does that make it partially like Yom Kippur to have the number seven? It's not the number seven that's important to Yom Kippur. It's that there's only one request in the middle, which is Kedushas Hayom. That is a very good question. I don't have a great answer for that. I mean, the Rashbam obviously thinks so. I don't have a great answer for that. I can make something up, but I haven't convinced myself that it's true. I might be able to convince you, but it would be unethical of me to try to convince you if I haven't convinced myself. So I'll leave that with Sarachim. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we finally get to what Or is. Tashma, Ditani, Dvei Shmuel, Leile, our boss, our boat, can his comments are in there. In Yeshiva Shmuel, they had a brisa parallel to our Mishnah, but said explicitly the night of our Basar, your Bokas, Chomis, Lor, and Er, Ela, or Urdu, that proved that Or and our Mishnah is nighttime. So, done. Ela, but isn't it a Chotra of Hunim, Rabbi Yehuda? Ela, Bain, Rav Hunim, Bain, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gliyama, or Urdu. They both agree Or, Lar, Basar means nighttime. The low plea, Marki Asri, Marki Asri. And they both meant nighttime. Oh, they argue whether it was Naghi, right? Or Leili. No. They both meant nighttime. We thought Nagi meant day and Leili meant night. They both meant nighttime. Just in one of their places, they call nighttime Leili. The other of their places, they call nighttime Nagi. Nagi means brightness. It's just like the Mishnah calls nighttime Or. So in whoever's place it was, in Rav Huna's place, they in Rav Huna's town, they called nighttime brightness. Basri Rav Huna Kari. Oh, there it is. Nagi Basri Rav Huna Kari Leili. Tani done my time in Lokatami lately. So why didn't our Mishnah say Leili? I mean, why was our Mishnah confusing? Why did our Mishnah not say Leili or Basar? After all, we're confused. We had a Havamina Shubadika during the day, which is not a crazy Havamina. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Daf Dalet Aleph is going to say, Taka, it would be more logical to do it during the day and have to find all kinds of strange reasons why we do it at night. So why did our Mishnah talk confusingly? And here we get to the next sugya. The answer is Lishna Ma'al Yehudanaka, because it was talking nicer language. Okid, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Olam Yotzi Adam Dover Mugunim Kiv, a person should never speak any Dover Mugunim, any bad language. Shari Ikim, Akasar Shona Osios, Lohotzi Dover Mugunim Kiv, because after all, the Torah, we know the Torah, every letter is for a reason. The Torah wasted, quote unquote, eight letters, and in order to avoid saying bad language, Shinarim, Minabahima, Tahora, Shepsis, and Arthur, Minabahima, Shari Nana Tahora, should have said Hatmeya. Why did it say Asheri Nena Tahora, which is eight extra letters? Because the Torah didn't want to say Atmeya, which is bad language. So just like the Torah doesn't want to say Atmeya, which is bad language, the Tana Bar Mishnah didn't want to say Laila, which is bad language, because night is a negative thing. Rav Papa Amar Tesha, Shenemar Ki Yebecha Isha Shogo Yetahor Mikre Laila. Rav Papa said there's nine extra letters that could have said Ki Yebecha Ish Asher Ki Yelecha Ish Asher yeye, Asher yeye, the ki yelcha ish. Sorry, Asher yeye tamei, mikri laila. and has nine extra letters. Sorry, Yatame. Why does it have to say Masher Liya Tahor Mikri Laila? Nine extra letters to avoid calling him Tame. Ravina or Esar Vav de Tahor. In Ravina's Girsa Torah had a Vav, so it was 10 letters. We know in the days of Chazal already, they're not Bucky in Chasiris Viseris, the Gemara says in Kedushin. They're not Bucky when the O is with a Vav, when it's without a Vav, when the E is with the Yod, when it's without a Yod. So I guess in Rav Papa's Torah, it didn't have a Vav, and Ravina's it did. Ravachar Yagam Rashesh, Ravachar Yagam says 16. Even though this proof is only from Novel. Shenemar ki Amar Mikrehu, Bilti Tahor, Hu Kilo Tahor. This is, we remember this is after Machar Chodesh, right? When David didn't come to the Rosh Chodesh meal on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, Shaul did not make a big deal of it. He says, oh, it must be a mikra, happenstance that he's not tahor. And it could have just said tamehu, and if you count the 16 extra letters. Okay. Tanya Devei Rabbi Yishmael. L'olam yisafar adam loshon akiga, and likewise, Rabbi Yishmael says you should always talk in clean language. Shari yizav kro merka v'isha kro moshe. Obviously, the standards of clean language are not standards that our parents told us to kid. There's higher standards. Right? So even... In Zav, right, the Torah called it Merkav, called Merkav Ashokav Alav Yitzma. But in the Torah discussed the Merkav of the Zav, but which means literally at least the saddle that you sit on. But by the Zava, it talked about her Moshav, right? The Chol Mishkav Ashokav Alav. So why does it talk about the woman sitting while the man riding on a saddle? The answer is because it's not Lashon HaKiyah to talk about a woman riding on the saddle. It's not Sneas to talk about a woman spreading her legs. The Omer Tivkar Lashon HaRuman says choose wise language. The Omer V'das Vasayber Milelu and says that the knowledge of my lips spoke very clearly in good, nice language. Like Omer, why don't you use other proofs? If you say only the Torah has talked Lashon HaKiyah, but rabbis, when they write halacha books or speak in halacha, give drushes, don't. Hashma ava omer v'tifka lashon rumen. It says, choose the language of arumim, who are arumim, not Hashem. Hashem's only lashon yachid. Arumim are the wise people, the smart people, are the chachamim. So it shows the chachamim use special language. If you say that's only chachamim talking Torah, but it's not regular daily business, you don't have that nice lashon. But Omer v'dasos like Baruch Milelu, and here it's talking about just speaking in general and not in a particular context, that everyone should speak nicely. Okay, the Gemara asks, v'isha lo ksiv b'merkav, does it really never talk about a woman riding? V'aksiv ha'takav of karmen arusev at ha'kav na'al gemalim. It says Rivka and her serpent girls were rochev on the gemalim. Hasom should be yisuz nemal horchi. No, this is meaning, what's the point? It's not that you can never talk about a woman riding. It's that, you know, once upon a time, again, we live in a very different reality, right? But once upon a time, women didn't ride normally, right? They rode side saddle. Huh? And whenever, do you remember reading old books where the women rode side saddle? You know, that means that they rode sideways because they didn't want to spread their legs to ride. So what's the point? The point is, it's not that you can't talk about a woman riding. It's just that it's a little bit improper for women to ride. It's improper for women to ride like that. And therefore, to talk about a woman riding is talking about her acting in a non-sneistic way. But if she has a reason she needs to ride, then it's not considered a lack of sneis, and it's not considered bad language. And on camels are very different, because camels are very tall, and you're afraid of falling. And therefore, on camels, when they're tall and you're afraid of falling, it's even women, it's considered sneis to ride. And therefore... it's not a lack, it's not a bad language. It doesn't say Moshe took his wife and kid and sons and had them ride on the donkey. The donkey's not tall. No, there it's considered proper Derech Eretz because it's his wife and his sons. So it really meant his sons' rides, and he also threw his wife in there. So it wasn't explicitly talking exclusively rather about his wife, so it's still sneezes. Doesn't say that Abigail, Ishus novel of Carmeli, was riding on a chamor, again, not a donkey. No, they're also, even on a donkey, it's sometimes sneezes for a woman to ride normally when it's at night because you're afraid of falling off at night. The bison should be susu lele, like should be susu dominica, or maybe you could say that, the nighttime is not a good enough reason, but she was afraid of dove. The dove was coming to kill her whole household. So when you're afraid of someone chasing after you and killing you, then you would see his form to write, be by Zema, be a Susan of a Nami Lekha. No, she wasn't afraid of that. It should be Susan Harika. So she was going down a mountain. When you go down a mountain, you have to be extra careful. Then where is the rising? He looks at Tame. Does it not say Tame in the Torah? What do you mean? According to what we just said, it should never say Tame in the Torah. Because the Torah used 8 or 9 or 10, or the Navi used 16 extra letters to not say Tame. But the Torah says Tame all the time. It's like a gazillion places the Torah says Tame. So Elokal Hechdechia Dodi Ninhu Mishtar Beloshnekia. No. Whenever it's the same length, then the Torah talks in a cleaner language. But when it would be longer, then it's better to talk in short language, meaning when you have equally long, nicer language and crasser language, you talk in nice language. The Torah talks in nice language, but when it's a choice, you could talk in nice language, in refined language, but it's longer, or in maybe not crass, but somewhat crass language. And it is shorter, then it's better to choose Lashon Katsara. Lashon Katsara is Docha Lashon Akiya. You should always teach your Talmud Derech Kitzara. Then we're asked, is that true? Is it really true that when the same length you have to use Lashon Kavod? But hold on. Rocheves and Yosheves are the same length. They're both 5 letters. So why doesn't it just say Yosheves, even though, maybe we'll have to come back to this in a moment. Even though, sometimes there's a justification writing Yosheves, but it's still better, it's for Yosheves, it's still better to write Yosheves. You can't lose anything writing Yosheves. So why don't they write Yosheves at the same length? Rocheves tiv, no, because Rocheves is without a vav, and all the mafarshim deal with various reasons why you can't write Yosheves without a vav, and therefore Rocheves is shorter. Okay, now let's ask the obvious question that bothered Rashi and everyone else in the entire world. What's the obvious chalk question that bothered everyone in the entire world? What's the principle? The principle is that if it's equal length, you always use the nicer language. But if they're shorter and longer, you use the shorter language and not the nicer language. What's the obvious problem? What we just said, which is Ikin Akasim Shmona Osios or Teisha Osios or Eser or Sheshve Osios, the beginning of our sugya was that you speak even, you use longer formulations to use nicer language. So here we have a clear stira, okay, that everyone was worried about. Who was in charge of picture of photographing the boards? Anyone remember? What?
If you let me back, I'll be able to take the pictures for you.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm happy to let you back.
Oh, okay.
But it's not up to me.
Okay.
If it was up to me, there'd be no corona in the first place. Then it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, don't misquote me. I didn't say it goes off to me, there'd be no hanchayot. I said there'd be no corona. Whatever. We'll see what we can do in shul this Rosh Hashanah. The Rashi already asked this question, right? How come what's the stira? We said that you always pick the shorter lashon. What's the stira? Ksara is better than. What's the lashon they use? Nikia. Ksara is better than Nikia. On daf gimel and aleph, ikim hakasav 8, 9, 10, 16 osius. Okay, what's Rashi's answer, Abosai? What's Rashi's answer?
Make a point.
Rashi's answer is to make a point. Who agrees with Rashi? Tosfos agrees with Rashi. And also the Ram Cholava. Okay, Rashi and Tosfos are good enough. Right? Rashi and Tosfos say to make a point. Really, the Torah should not have said 8, 9, 10, or 16 extra letters. Because it's not worth any extra letters just to talk in a cleaner language. But we would never have noticed there was value of clean language. Because if the only time the Torah used clean language is when it was the same length, we might have said, oh, that's just what it says. We wouldn't have necessarily noticed that it could have said something else. After all, everything in the Torah could have said something else, but we don't make a big deal out of, unless there's a reason we think it would have said something else. So therefore, to make a point, therefore, really, the Torah should never have extra letters. But once the Torah has to put extra letters, or twice the Torah has to put extra letters, okay, the Rambam of Chiddush explains why the Torah would do it twice to make a point. Right, he says once is to make a point that that if it only said Mikri Laila, you would have thought only by people it's worth having clean Lashon, not by animals. So it has to say by Noach. If it only said by Noach, you wouldn't have thought it was for clean Lashon. You would have just thought that nothing could be called Tame then, because there was no halachas other than Shem Mitzvos Bnei Noach, Sheish Mitzvos Bnei Adam, and not Adam Lashon Nekiyah. So you put those two together, you don't say Lashon Nekiyah, fine. So says Rashi and Tosfos, that this is the general rule. The general rule is that Sara is better than Kia. Well, this is to teach us value of Lashon Nekiya. And the nafkamina is for equal length. Right? But the Torah hadn't gone out of its way once, it wouldn't have been noticeable. We wouldn't have known to use Lashon Nekiya at equal length. Okay. So it wasn't that the Torah was following its own rule when it was Ikem Shimon Osios. Rather, the Torah was giving us a drasha to teach us a different rule. That's Rashi and Tosfos. Okay. The Maharsha says something very radical here, which is not mainstream at all. What does the Maharsha say? Says the Maharsha, it's a big chiddush. He says, no, you misunderstood the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean that whenever one option is longer, you have to talk to Lashon and start like Rav Huna or Rav. Or Rav Huna or Rav, whoever it was, Rav Huna or Rav. The Gemara meant when one option is longer, one is shorter, there's value to the shorter one, because the Ole Mishana Adam Tamina Derek Sarah. There's also value to the cleaner one, because Lashon Nekiya. And therefore, it's a tie, and you can go either way. Fielder's choice. So says the Maharsha, it's not that Sarah's better than Nekiya. No. It really meant there are two equal options. And then, Av Gimel Aleph is Nicha is perfectly fine. You misunderstood. He disagreed with everyone in the world. You misunderstood the Gemara and Gimel Beis. It doesn't mean Sara is more important than Nekiya. Sara is equally important to Nekiya. When they're the same length, you have to go with Nekiya. When there's a longer and a shorter, there's value on both sides, and you can pick whichever you want. So sometimes the Torah said Tame and picked shorter. Sometimes the Torah was Ikem, 8 or 9 or 10 or 16 Osios, and picked the cleaner one. Okay, but what
are we doing? Arguing on Rashi, right?
What?
The Maharsha's arguing on Rashi, not explaining him, right?
Yes, very explicitly. The Maharsha says, he starts out saying, well, this is Rashi, and he says, but really, I don't like it, and this is what I would have said. He's explicit, he's arguing. He's not trying to explain. Okay, what did most Rishonim say? What did most Rishonim say?
That it's not Lashon Ganai in the rest of the Torah. Or that you could, because it's the Torah.
Right.
Tomei is a neutral language. The Balamor, that Tomei is a neutral language.
That Tomei is a neutral language? I think that might be going a little far. But they basically say isn't Sveitinim. Right? Is that there at Sveitinim? There are two levels of non-ideal language. There's bad language. And then there's not as nice language. Right? That's, who was the first person to say this? I'm not sure the first person to say this. Either the Baal Amor or Rabbi Yonah, I don't know exactly who said it first, says Rabbi Yonah, there's Dover Meguneh, And then there's Lashon Kavod, right? Dover Megunim don't say bad language. Lashon Kavod means speak in nice language and not in, okay, maybe you want to call it neutral, but not in Lashon She'en or Shal Kavod. There's two different Madrigas. The Nafkamina between these two Madrigas is it more important than brevity? Or is it not more important than brevity, right? Well, Mor says the same thing as Rabbi Yonah. So the most Rishonim, what does he say? He says there's Lashon Kavod, and there's Lashon Meguna, right? So what the most Rishonim say, Rabbi Yonah, the Shari Tshuva, and the Baal Mor, who else was on the Torah sheet who said this? I'm sure they should have brought many Pshatim. Rabbi David, okay, he was in the brackets. So we'll stick with the Rabbi Yonah and the Mi. We also bring the Mi. We also says this. So says the. He says they say Beis Dinim. The Beis Dinim, one is called Lashon Meguna, the Isser of Lashon Meguna, and the other is the value of Lashon Kavod versus, I guess, a Lashon that's not Kavod. Okay. Could call it neutral. I don't know if I'd call it Lashon Kavod neutral. I would say it's, you know, there is disgusting language, and there's improper disgusting language, and then there is perhaps unrefined language. Maybe that's too strong. Whatever, like, you know, you expect a Rosh Hashiva or a king or to talk a certain way, not just not to say bad language, to talk with refined, with Lashon Aruch. Okay, so what do we say here? On Daf Gimel Beis, what are we talking about? There we're talking about Lashon Kavod. This is the din of Lashon Kavod. And here, Kitzer is more important than Lashon Kavod. But enough Gimel and Aleph, we're not talking about Lashon Kavod. This is the thing called Lashon Meguna. And Lashon Meguna is never okay. There's no justification for Lashon Meguna, or at least almost no justification for Lashon Meguna. Okay, that's the Tzvei Dinim. Now we just have to figure out, go through our sugya and figure out why some things are Lashon Meguna. Like, for example, what's within Lashon Kavod? Rocheved and Yoshevet. That, the Gemara says, well, you should pick whatever shorter. Right? You would have picked Rocheves if it was, you would have picked, rather, sorry, you pick Rocheves because it's shorter.
The Rishonim don't relate position to the two different formulations of Rabbi Yoshua and Levi and Tana Dveyer and Yishmael, but maybe they do, maybe that's really what they mean. Using Rabbi Yoshua and Levi talks about Al Yotzi Adam Dabar Meguna, and Rabbi Yishmael talks about Lola Misaper Adam Lashon Nekia. Maybe they're not the same thing, maybe not saying the same thing, but they're saying two different things.
Exactly, because what's the example of Lashon Nekia is Merkav and Moshav, where when it comes to Merkav and Moshav, we would pick whatever shorter. What's the example of Yeshua ben Levi? His examples, he came eight, I mean, including everyone with Yeshua ben Levi, who comes there, 8, 9, 10, 16 osios, which means not shorter, meaning, yes, exactly. This is the din of Rabbi Yishmael. This is Rabbi Yishmael. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Udeimei. You know, one is the Ola, even the Lashon, look at the Lashon. The Ola Yotze Adam Dover Meguna Kid. You should never say a Dover Meguna, and never means never. Not unless you want to be more brief. And as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says, Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, says, the Ola Yisaper Adam, the Lashon Akia. Okay, they both say the Ola. But what's the difference? One is more of a negative, while the other is a positive value. One is a negative, one is a positive value. And that, the Tzvei Dinim here really does seem to be not just you know, why do I call it Svei Dinim and not just two different levels? One seems to be a negative, one seems to be a positive. In the Rabbeinu Yonah, this is exceedingly clear. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the reason you should never say a Dvar Meguna, even if it'll cost you extra letters or words? Because the Geder of for Nivel Peh and Lashon Hara. The Geder for Nivel Peh and Lashon Hara. Okay, that's like a real Xerah, right? If you start saying, you know, uncouth formulations, you might end up saying Mamash Nivel Peh, which, by the way, just Agav, what Nivel Peh means in Chazal is not what they teach you in high school. Nivel Peh doesn't mean like four-letter words. It's close. Nivel Peh means actually talking about, you know, sexual acts and like mamish, like having conversations about things that are best left to privacy. So the Rebbeim say, well, one of the four-letter words is connected to that. So Nivel Peh means don't say four-letter words, but Pash says, well, as I'll say, not saying Nivel Peh, they didn't mean don't use the F word. Because when people use the F word, they don't mean anything to do with a sexual act. That's just a word to show that they're cool. To show that they're like a real gangster and whatever. They know how to talk in ways their parents don't like. And nowadays, probably their parents also like it, you know, outside of, you know, the Orthodox community. That's not what Chazal meant. Chazal meant mamish when people are like talking about, you know, sexual acts, which is, you know, I call Yodim Lama Kalim Cheslechopa, but you don't talk about it. I think the four-letter words are what's called Dvar Meguna, right? They are associated and affiliated with Nivel Peh, and they could lead to Nivel Peh, right? And some of them might not lead to Nivel Peh. They're not necessarily about sexual, indirectly about sexual acts or about pritzos, etc. But they lead to Lashon Hara, as talking so negatively about things that lead to Lashon Hara. Okay, that's a gezeira. And then he says, you should choose Lashon Kavod, but Tivkar, and not have a Lashon that's not covered, even if it's not Meguna. Right? And then he's quoting the whole Sakhar Targum Rishmal, right? Where he talks about being the Rei Torah, being the Sichas Eskei Olam, etc. And then he says, right, that's only if it doesn't cost you extra. So there really a difference in these Svei Dinim. One is an Isser, one is a Mita, a value. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, one is an Igzira Atu specific Isurim. The other is just generally being like a Baal Madrega, someone who's on who has proper Midos of Ben Torah. So they're really like, one thing is Igzira Atu, this Lav and that Lav, right? Okay, maybe that's not a Lav, it's as bad as a Lav. And the other is just a Derech in life. Okay, so there's Svei Dinim here. And therefore, the one that's a Derech in life, okay, it's a value. You know, a lot of things are values. Brevity is a greater value than having sophisticated lashon. Balsam is an iser, is just an iser. Okay, that's what most Rishonim say. The only question becomes, hold on a second, what are the examples of this Svei Dinim? Right, so what are the examples of these Svei Dinim? So, if here we put, Din Lashon Kavod. And here we put the Din Lashon Gune. What are the specific examples? So Lashon Kavod includes Rechivas Isha. Rechivas Isha is Lashon Kavod, and therefore, Rechivas Isha is Lashon Kavod, and therefore we say Moshav instead of Merkav when they're the same length, but we say Rocheves instead of Yosheves when it's shorter. What's the other example? All the Tamei in the Torah. Right? All the words.
That's only according to Bala Mohor, right? Rabbeinu David says it's Gnai.
So give me a good point. I don't think if you're willing to say, you don't mean only according to Bala Mohor, you mean not according to Rabbeinu David, if you're willing to grant me that. Okay, correct. Let's come back to that. Good point. Very good. What are the examples of Lashon Meguna? The examples of Lashon Meguna, and here's where it gets tricky. The examples of Lashon Meguna are very clear. They are, what does it not say, right? The Tamei. What are the examples? The examples are Noach, the Teva, right? The Mikrei Laila. And let's assume David is also Mikrei Laila, right? says Mikra. Noach and Mikra Laima, nocturnal emissions. Right? So now, of course, the problem is that Tamei, all the Tameis. So Rosh says there's no difference between the Tameis. Just the Torah picked one or two examples to make a point. Marshav says no difference between the Tameis. Just you could go one way, you could go the other way. Okay, then you could darshan why the Torah chose here to go one way or the other way. But halachically, there's no difference. The stomach, there's some drush reason why the Torah chose it here, but halachically. So here, everyone has to figure out halachically what's the difference. So, what is the difference halachically? Why is some Tameis Meguneh and some Tameis a lack of kavod, but not Meguneh? I remember once I had not a rebbe in school, in camp, who he wouldn't say the word bad. He would only say not good. Okay, not because Meguneh. Because he wanted to do Lashon Nikiya, right? If you don't say Tameh, you don't say bad. He would never say bad. He would only say not good. I'm surprised more people don't do that. Okay, so what's the difference between the Tameh? Someone help me out here.
It's neutral. It's a neutral, it's just informative.
So why aren't those Tameh's neutral?
They're going on these a person. Navarian.
The one by Noach is about the animals with the two or the seven.
One by Noach.
The first one is easy. But now, first of all, you can't say going on a person, right? All the tummies in the Torah are also going on a person. What you're saying is all the tummies in the Torah are going on a person who is not blameworthy, right? Meaning, what are the tummies of the person? He touched something. Okay. Not in a favor to touch something. You know, he's in a room with a dead body. Not in a favor to be in a room with a dead body. Or... I don't know, Yoledes, and a Nida, and a this, and a that, you know, a Zav and a Zava, you know, okay, so, it could be that I'll be, you know, mysticism, the Ramban says, well, if someone's a Zav, it means they're sick, and if they're sick, it must be an onus for Averus, etc. Okay, but he didn't do anything wrong. Like, everything that's bad is maybe because something's imperfect in the world. He didn't do an Avera. The one exception is Mikrei Laila. Now, Mikrei Laila isn't necessarily an Avera, but it could be an Avera, because Chazal say that it's also Maharher Bayom and Yom Levitumah B'Layla, right? That if a Mikri Laila happens, that's not an Avera, right? That's the same as Zav and Zava and Nida and everyone, Tveimes, etc. But if someone is Maharher about improper things, which caused the Mikri Laila, then Chazal say that is an Avera. And therefore, the Mikrei Laila could be talking about an Avaryan who acted improperly in a very, maybe I would say it's a priestly way, if no one else could see it, priestess, but in a very very lowly fashion. And therefore, you understand why that's more Meguneh. But how about the animals that only two of them went into the ark? What's so Meguneh about that? What's a Meguneh about that? Exactly. Who says that? The Me'iri. The Me'iri says that a regular Tameh is just not kavod. But, as a matter of fact, what would the Me'iri say? That he would say, Pashas the Gemara would say, that rabbi of mine in camp. Now, I realize that no one else did it. I don't know why that rabbi of mine in camp did it. He would always say, not good instead of bad. But bad is just a lack of kavod. It's not Lashon Meguneh. And therefore, it's better to be Lashon Katzar. So, I know why he's... I think two theories why he said not bad. One, not good instead of bad. One, maybe held like the Marsha. That's two equal choices. Or maybe held like... maybe held like the Marim Chalava. That we will... was it the Marim Chalava? No, the Tashmites. That we will get to. In any case, I don't remember his name, so I can't ask him. Just remember the Chavaya. But I don't remember who it was. I have to go ask the Old Door Golden crew who it was. Back to our regular scheduled programming. So the Me'iri says all Tameis are not Lashon Meguneh. What's Tameh? It's just a halachic status. Except for Tameh's of sexual impropriety. A Tameh of sexual impropriety is Lashon Meguneh, and the Mikrei Laila is clearly, could be talking about sexual impropriety, or, a type of impropriety, if you're a Hurim. And the Minim, here is a Chiddush, It doesn't mean, this is not the simple pshat of Chazal, right? But it doesn't mean the species that will be kosher when the Torah is given and Am Yisrael is given helpless kashrus, which is the species that will be treif. It means those animals are species that engage, that copulated with other species, which is like their type of gilirias, versus those animals that stuck to their own species, which is their type of, of keeping of holding sexual ethics for animals. Okay, that's a big finish, because an old Efron go to town on the Miri that says, what does that mean? Two of the animals that copulated with other species and seven of the ones that didn't. But another measure says no animals that copulate with other species were let in. And you have to be miyashiv it. And okay, maybe it means no. Two that didn't copulate with other species of species where the other members of that species did. But seven of the species that were totally clean. Okay, you have to work it out. But anyway, that's the Meiri. Says the Meiri. Here we have the obvious stira. So says the Meiri. He says no. This is just ritual impurity. And this is referring to sexual impropriety. But that's a chiddush. It's not such a chiddush about Mikri Laila. It's a chiddush about Noach. Agav, there's a great Ben Yoyada here, just a very clever Ben Yoyada. All the Rishon and Achronim ask the Kasha. I understand why Shaul says, Ki amar mikrehu bilti tahor. Why does he have to add kilo tahor? It would have been Lashon HaKiyah to say, Bilti Torah. Why does he have to say Kilo Torah? That's just saying he's not Torah twice. You don't have to say Lashon HaKiyah twice. That's clearly unnecessary extra. So, everyone has their pshat. Tosfos Rosh says, he means saying not only does he have a Toma Kala, he has a Toma Chamura. And the Yeshua says, no, it means that he's not totally Tomei, he's a Tful Yom. Because even if he told both he's a Tful Yom, the assumption is that they were eating Kachim. The Merome Sadis is the opposite. It means not only is he Tomei, he hasn't even told both. The assumption is they're reading Chulin, and if you're told, you can join them. Okay, the Ben Yoyada says a very nice shot. He says, Bilti Tarhu Kilo Tahor. What does ki mean? Right? So again, sometimes ki just means that. But often ki means because. Bilti Tarhu Kilo Tahor. He's not Tahor because he's not Tahor. What do you mean he's not Tahor because he's not Tahor? What do you mean? That's circular reasoning. So says Ben Yoyada, no, Shaul hated David HaMelech. He was looking to accuse him of every crime in the book at every possible juncture. What do you say? Bilti Tarhu, he had a Mikri Laila. You know why he had a Mikri Laila? Not like everyone else here who has a Mikri Laila just because that's the way the world works scientifically. Kilo Tahar, because his thoughts were impure and he was being a harer and a rise all day long. And therefore, don't think it's just a ritual impurity which happens to everyone and therefore he can't come to the Zebach. No, Bilti Tarhu. He's not ritually pure, Kilo Tahar, because he's not mentally pure, because his mind is a dirty mind. And how did he know that? He didn't know that, but he wanted to accuse David because he hated him. Okay, just I don't know who's right, but it's a nice shot that really explains something extra here. And it's a nice shot of the word key. Everyone else takes the word key as being that. He takes the word key as because. Okay. Very nice Ben Yoyada, even though there are lots of options. Anyway, back to this. That's the Meiri. But no one else agrees with the Meiri. Why does no one else agree with that? Again, I mean no one else. Most of the other Rishonim do not agree with the Meiri. Why don't they agree with the Meiri? Just because they don't like Shana Noach. No, that's not what it meant in Noach. In Noach it meant, what's the mainstream Chazal and Rashi and everyone says, that it meant kosher species, not kosher species, right? He took two pigs and two horses and two donkeys and two camels. But he took 7 or 14 cows and sheep and goats, etc. Right? So then what's so bad about, why is there a difference between calling the Zav Tameh and calling the Chamor Tameh? As a matter of fact, it's not just the Zav versus the Chamor. The Torah calls the Chamor Tameh later. I mean, not specifically Chamor by name, right? But in Parsha Shemini, it says all the trade animals are Tameh. Right? Tamehu Lachem says the Chazar is Tamehu Lachem. And it says the Shafan's Tamehu Lachem. The Arnevis says Tamehu Lachem. The Gomel's Tameh. So how come the Gomel is allowed to be called Tameh in Parsha Shemini, but not allowed to be called Tameh in Parshas Noach? Now you have a real steer. Okay, so what's the answer?
It says Shemra on the people that ate it in Parsha Noach.
What? Yes. Well, you have to say it again? Exactly. The difference is that in Parshas Shmini, it's treif for us. And in Parshas Noach, it wasn't treif for him. It was just Al-Shem Ha'asid, you know, that Hashem told him to do something. There's actually, right, there's nothing whatsoever wrong with a guy eating pork, right? Goyim, there's a lot of things that Goyim shouldn't do. Seven of them, which have many, many details within them. You know, and then there's a few things that are just good svaras anyway. But no one thinks there's anything wrong with a guy eating pork. Not that I know of. So exactly, that's the difference. We have Hilchos Kashrus. He did not have Hilchos Kashrus. Okay, exactly. What is the difference? So here we have subtly different formulations. Rabbi Yonah says it's lashon member. Rabbi Yonah says, what's the problem with lashon meguna? Zero atu nivul peh, but the nivul peh. Tyler guy could be zero atu nivul peh, right? You start to admit some atomic because we heard him, and then you'll start to discuss the content of the reverb, etc. But Noah's animals, if you're not going to be eerie, are not going to lead to nivul peh. But he says also lead to lashon hara. You see, there's dofi reprios. So what does he say? He says that the same word is, since for him lashon meguna is not just about nivul peh, it's also about lashon hara and nesinas dofi. So when it comes to lashon hara and nesinas dofi, so it depends on the on the reality where you're talking about. If you say a treif animal is treif, or a tummy thing is tummy for halachic purposes, that's not even borderline nesinas dofi and lashon hara. You're just telling its halachic status. If something is perfectly kosher, and yet you call it treif because it's parallel and reminds you of something treif, and it would have been treif in different circumstances, etc., that's already borderline lashon hara, etc., right? For sure, right? If I tell you this store is treif because it sells treif food, that's not lashon meguna. What's lashon hara? Nesinas dofi. I'm giving you valuable information. You know, but if I tell you, you should know, this store is almost treif. It's very similar to being treif. If not for this, it would be treif. Then, it's mamash a terrible lashon hara, right? You're ruining the parnassah of the store owner. And even if it's not a store owner, it's seen as dofi b'prios. Right, so it says Rabbi Yonah, everyone else says that it's because it's before Matan Torah, afterwards. Says Rabbi Yonah that here, it is lashon meguna because at least Noach, by Noach, it is calling edible food treif. That's lashon meguna. It's insulting. Okay, we're not saying it's mamash lashon hara, because it's al-shem ha'asid, but it is insulting, right? If I go to the guy's house and I say, this food is tummy, that's insulting him. As opposed to here, right?
Rabbi.
Usher things treif, or tummy things tummy. That's just a lack of kavod, because they could have said tar. But there's no maguna about this, because for him, maguna also includes. There's no maguna about this, because I'm not putting any dofi, and it's not like lashon hara. So for Rabbi Yonah, it's that one has a gnus in the first place, and the other doesn't have a gnus in the first place. Let me just.
Everyone.
Yes?
When Rabbi Yonah says, what's he talking about? After the flood? Or the Shinanian animal?
That's a good question. But you're making an assumption. You're making an assumption that Adam Marisha was a vegetarian, right? It could be, now I don't know enough Rabbi Yonah, could be that Rabbi Yonah does not think it was also to eat meat before Adam Marisha. There are Achronim who write that Rashi just says that Adam was not permitted to kill animals to eat them, but he was permitted to eat them if they died on their own. So it could be the Rabbi Yonah holds that either he just disagrees with the drush in the first place, or maybe holds that Adam Rishon didn't kill animals, but he was allowed to eat them if they died on their own. So l'chora, you have to say one of those things. L'chora. Or you say he means after the flood, he just means there's no point to discriminating. Okay, but it could be that he held, I know there are one who held, but I don't remember who offhand, I apologize. The Balamor says a little differently, says the Balamor. He says, It's not Lashem Aguna in Doraisa, Shetzorach HaKosav Lomer, Lahazar Yisrael, Afrisha Mikol Toma, Kedichsiv, Yizarchim, Bnei Yisrael, Vigomer, Kai, Dershim, Gabi Shrotzim, etc. Say it's not Lashem Aguna because it has to tell you to stay away from this. When it's asering something, that's not Lashem Aguna. When it's not asering something, it's Lashem Aguna. That's very similar to the Rabbeinu Yonah. Meaning, he just adds, it's not just that it happens to be asering. The whole point of the Torah is to tell you not to do it. When the Torah is telling you not to do it, that's Lashem Aguna. When there's nothing wrong with it, that's not Lashem Aguna. Okay, so the same idea, he says, of course, when something's really treif, then the Torah has to tell you not to do it. That's not Lashem Aguna. That's giving you Eitzah Tova. That's giving you good advice. That's giving you Hadrocha in life. But when it's not Hadrocha in life, it's just I'm insulting. That is Lashem Aguna. Okay, the Rabbeinu David, as Shmuel points out, says this over a little tiny bit differently. These are the two basic Drachim. But he says it over a tiny bit differently. So he says, Kol is Aguna. It's not Meguna. Says Rabbeinu David, he takes the Balamor in a slightly different direction. Says Rabbeinu David, okay, it's the same basic idea. Once Shmuel pointed out, he says either way Tommy is Meguna. But Azharas Isser is Doche Meguna. Just like Kitzer is Doche Lashon Kavod, Azharas Isser is Doche Lashon Meguna. Right, what do we have similar in Chazal? Right? That you should never say bad language except kol etzinusa sira, or sarcastic language except for it, like etzinusa avodazara, right? Sometimes the need to put down bad things is docha our speech standards. So he says a little different. He says tame is always magona, but the Azhara me iser is doche loshon meguna. Okay, it's not that it's not meguna, it's that it's doche loshon meguna. Okay, a subtle difference, but we're not making the deal of it now with your permission. Okay, so here we see, right, basically the Marsha says that there's one din and has a technical answer. Rashi's one din is a technical answer. Most we shouldn't say there's Sve dinim. There's the difference between Meguna and Kava, the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Levi, the difference between an Isser and a choosing for the Rabbi Yonah, the difference between Xera, Otto, Isser, Doraisa versus just nice Midos. And they just have two machlokos as to how do we know which Tameis are which, two basic Mahalkim, how do we know which Tameis are which. The Rabbi Yonah having a little different twist. Now, what is fascinating for us is let's go back to Or, right? Or versus Lila. So why did our Gemara say Or Lar Basar instead of Leilar Basar or Leilar Basar? So what's the simple shot in our Gemara? Why did our Gemara say Or Lar Basar? Because what's the simple shot? What? Lashonaki, because Or is a Lashonakia more than Leilar. And here it's the same length, right? Meaning I'm not saying Or is Lashonaguna, Lila is Maguna. But it's more Lashon Kava to say Or. Or Le'ar Basar has four letters before a Basar. Le'ar Basar has four letters before a Basar. Equal length, right? Same number of syllables as well. Two syllables before our Basar. And therefore, we should always pick the Lashon Kavod. Okay, why did the Tana de Meshul not pick the Lashon Kavod? Good question, right? Sarachim. Maybe had some reason that we don't know about. That is the simple shot in our Gemara. For example, just give me one example. There's a Rashi here someplace. Well, maybe that's a Rashi means Rashi in the end of the fifth wide line of Gimel and Aleph says, Dabra Guna, Lama should believe the way. Lila is not Dabra Guna. Hadrim should believe the Yalmein. Marim should believe is talking in general about the Ramir Shemina. We know Lashon Kham, last Rashon Lashon Tzach Ben Naki. We still see the Lashon Kham is to use Lashon Tzach Ben Naki. Right? That, what does Rashi say? Yeah, Rashi should believe is Lashon Guna. But we also deduce from this you should have Lashon Akiya. Sounds that Rashi is on the Tzvedinim side, by the way. There's Lashon Akiya and Lashon Guna. Okay, there's a Dargo Lashon Guna. and a darga of Lashon Nikiya, right? And so why do we bring Lashon Gun and Lashon Nikiya? Because even though they're Sveidinim, they're still similar. You can, you know, maybe you'd say they're Sveidinim, but one is just a stronger form of the other. So Rashi is probably on the Sveidinim side. Oh, what is Rashi implying here? He says, Laila is not Lashon Maguna, but it's still, you should use Lashon Sachtanaki, meaning Laila is not Lashon Akiya. So according to the Rashi, Laila is not Lashon Akiya. That's what seems to come out of this. He says, you know, Laila is not Lashon Maguna, but you have to use Lashon Akiya. Lashon Naki. So Laila is not Lashon Akiya. So maybe for Rashi, Laila is just not Lashon Akiya. Lashon Akiya, that's how we use the word. That's the simple shot of the Gemara. However, the Rishonim were bothered by this. Many Rishonim did not like the simple shot of the Gemara. They said, that's going too far. Laila is not like Tame. Tame, I understand, is a negative thing. You know, it's not like Rechiva. Because Rechiva could have some indirect preetzus. But Laila is just half the day. You know? So Rashi thinks, no, nonetheless, not Lashon Akiya. Okay, but what are the two other main shatim? Okay, two or three, whatever other main shatim as to why we use the word aura. Let's just someone tell me, okay, so what's the other shot why we use the word aura if Laila is not a lack of Lashon Naki? Someone shout?
I think of the Masechet. More Mehada.
The Balamor. That was the Balamor's explanation.
And the Rambam.
And the Rambam here's Mishnayis. Interestingly, the Rambam of Mishnayis and the Balamor both said the exact same thing. They said, because the beginning of the Maseches, meaning what's the point? This is not mamish the rule of Lashon Akiya. But we just, like we pick Lashon Akiya, that shows, Matimcha Lashon Rumin, that Chazal are very medactic in their Lashon. And therefore, in the beginning of Maseches, you want more than Lashon Akiya. The beginning of Maseches, you want to start with enlightenment. Right, so why more? The simple shot, and that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Right? Why more? So the Pashtus, and this is what it sounds like from Rashi, is that Laila Eino Lashon Nikiya. Okay, that's a chiddush. Laila's not Lashon Akiya. How do we defend Tana Bishma? We're not sure. Maybe he argued as to what was Lashon Akiya. But many portions don't like that, so says the Baal Hamor. And the Rama, the Pesach Mishnayis, he brings a great pasuk, Psach Divarecha. Yair. In the beginning, you always start on positivity. Right? The Rama just says, in the beginning, you start on positivity. Baal Hamor adds, not just the beginning, you start on positivity. Psach Divarecha Yair, meaning the beginning, you have to start on positivity, and light is the best thing to start with. Right? So he's a little more brilliant. It's not just that you should start with something positive, but starting with light is the best thing. Okay, you can't start every Masech with light because it's not Shaykh. How are you going to start Baba Kama with light? But if you can, then you should start with light. Great, that's the Balamor. Okay, what's another shot?
They're right, but you should do the Bedikas Chametz when there's a little bit of light.
Exactly. The last shot is the Ravid. I think those are the three pshatim that I know of. Says the Ravid, no. What do we learn from this? It's not Lashon Akiya. It's that just like they choose Lashon Akiya, likewise they choose, right? This ties into some of the pshatim we showed in about the Moskim Tumah, right? And in Moskim Matara, right? Likewise, we choose a Lashon that is super duper Meduyik. And why do they choose Or instead of Laila? And sometimes they say, well, like, you know what? Just to have like a cute, nice, positive language, they wouldn't confuse us by writing Or instead of Laila. That's confusing. It's not like saying Bilti Tahor. That's not confusing. It's not like saying Moshav. That's not confusing. This is confusing, right? We're confused for a more than a full daf. Who's we? The Amorah were confused, right? The Amorah were much smarter than us, and they were confused for more than a full daf. So he says, no, it's really for Diyuk HaLashon, right? What's the diuk? It's really for diuk hilchati. What's the diuk hilchati? That if it had just said night, it would say any time at night. Or means not any time at night. Or means the light of the night. What's the light of the night? The light of the night is at the beginning of the night, when it's still a little light outside. Everyone knows at the beginning of the night, there's still a little light outside, right? Okay, I don't know. Sami didn't hold that ring of time, or depending on what he's talking about, the shmushels, right? But normally, right, even when we end Shabbos, right, the calendar says Shabbos is over, there's still a little light outside. Okay, what's the big machlokes achronim within the shita of the Ravid? Right, Dina Kilchati, which is Tchilas Halayla Kishe Yesh Adayin Or. When there's still Or, what's the machlokas we showed him?
Before that, right. How would the Ravid?
Did he mean right away at Seis and not to delay? Morty, you got a waiting room here.
How would the Ravid relate to the rest of the sugya?
What?
How would the Ravid relate to the rest of the Gemara?
How would the Ravid? You mean the Lashon HaKiyah part? You mean?
Yeah. He seems to cut off the whole discussion.
So if you look in the Ravid, he says, "Hatam Abor," because everybody to be makdim letchilas halayla. Tony, or because there's still some, or hayom. Here he's not explicit. You're right. He doesn't explicitly say, what does that have to do with Lashon HaKiyah? The Balmor says what it has to do with Lashon HaKiyah. There's Lashon HaKiyah, and the beginning used extra special Lashon. Okay, it's just a continuation of the same idea. For the Ravid, it is, he does not explicitly say, why does it have to do with our whole story of Lashon HaKiyah, right? How does it start? It starts and say, why did our Tana say, or? Because of Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says, you shouldn't say, Dover Maguna be Piv, because Ike Makosov, etc. What do we think? What does it have to do with Lashon HaKiyah, according to the Ravid? According to the Ravid, what does it have to do with Lashon HaKiyah?
Doesn't the Ran address it?
Nothing to do with it.
Right, so, what does he say here? Tani Ormisham Lishna Ma'alya. Ah, yes. So the Ran says, thank you. What does the Ran say? Ah. It had to have a deal kilchati, but he could have said tchilas leil yudalid. Why did it say or instead of tchilas leil yudalid? That is for lishna ma'alya. Okay, he's adding something to the Ravid, right? Yes. So where's the lishna ma'alya? The lishna ma'alya is or instead of tchilas leil yudalid. As for the lishna ma'alya, right? Mistama, if it had been or versus leil yudalid, would have said leil yudalid. But or versus tchilas leil yudalid. Then we pick the Lishna Ma'alya, maybe because it's also shorter, even though that's not a different way of combining the factors. Okay, the Ravid himself doesn't say. Does he think that maybe in the end it's not because of Lishna Ma'alya? Although it's hard to see where that would come up in the sugya. Does he think, you need like two factors? Because over here it's confusing. So to be confusing, you need two reasons, Lishna Ma'alya and Diyuk, halachic Diyuk. Okay. Not sure. What's the machlokas? Does he mean the very beginning of the night, seis? Or does he mean even in Bein Hashmashos? Right? Who holds what? Okay, you don't need it. I mean, what exactly does he mean? Maybe he means in Bein Hashmashos. This is what the Bach thinks he means, and the Magen Avraham thinks he means, and the Prima Gadim thinks he means, and obviously that's other people. Or no, he just means Miyad. It's a sakol chavim, right? Which is the opinion of many people. Who says he means this? The Elia Rabbah. Says he means this. The Chok Yaakov says he means this. And that happens to be the psak that everyone goes with the Ma'aril, the Mahagim of Isaac Tirna. That happens to be the psak of the Taz. Halacha L'maaseh, how do we paskin? Right? Half possible. They didn't say that's the right. That's the Maharil of Isaac Tirna. That's Sefer Menhagim, one of the most important books of Ashkenazic Menhagim in the days right before the Ramah. The Taz paskins this way without necessarily saying it's the Ravid, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins this way. Halacha Lameisa, we paskin Seis. Right? We paskin right away with Seis. We do not do it during Mishmashos. We do it in Seis. So we're not sure exactly how early he meant. Did he mean, or the, at Seis, there's still a little light outside, which there is, certainly for a number of Minotonics, which was stomach he wasn't. Because he was before Rebbeinu Tam. I don't know if anyone's Rebbeinu Tam before Rebbeinu Tam. Or does he mean during Rebbeinu Shmashos? No, or when it's Mahamish half light, half dark outside. Okay, let's come back to that in a moment. The more interesting question to me is why? Why does Bedikas Chametz have to be? I mean, it never says anywhere in Shas that Bedikas Chametz, all other mitzvahs can be done anytime at night. But Bedikas Chametz is different, has to be done when there's still a little light outside. It doesn't say that explicitly anywhere in Shas. So why would the Chazal come from Rami's then? By the way, he says he's being consistent. Why does it say that or Lishwam the Echad means even at the very beginning of the night? Why does it say, you know, Nechel or Lishlish, even the very beginning of the night you can't eat it, etc.? All these things, Masin Masuas were way at the very beginning of the night. Again, we don't know if he means Seis HaKohanim or if he means Benesh Mashos, but what's the reason? Why? What's the reason for the right thing? Why does Bedikas Chametz have to be in the very beginning of the night? Anyone?
Not to put it off. Like we'll have soon with Zrizi Makdimin for Bedika.
No, I think we can do better than that. I don't think it's Zrizi Makdimin. Shema Yishkach, who says that within the street of the Ravid? The Ran. The Ran quotes the Ravid as if the Ravid said it. Right? He makes you think the Ravid says this. Right? If you don't look in the Ravid inside, you would think he was the direct quote of the Ravid. Says the Ran, why? One shot is the Ran. Shema Yisrael. Meaning, it's not that fundamentally there's something unique about Bedika in the beginning of the night. It's just Shema Yisrael. Anything if you put off, right? Where else do we find that you should do it right away, you shouldn't put it off? With many other mitzvahs, right? Kriyashma, you shouldn't say I'll eat and I'll say Chapa Drimel, etc. for Kriyashma. And pretty much all mitzvahs are like this. Okay, so maybe we'll get to the Achronim say, well, maybe some mitzvahs were extra worried you'll forget because they're not common things, etc. Or, you know, but for the Ran, this is not an Ekroni property, a fundamental property of Bedikas Chametz, that it's Davka Shaif at the beginning of the night, and that later on you're just doing Tashlumin, as it were. No, it's a general cultural principle that you should never, that mitzvah of Aliyadcha, Al Tachmin Sana, you should never put up a mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat before the mitzvah, you're not allowed to work for the mitzvah, you're not allowed to do this, it, you know, remember all those things with Sefer Shabbos, get a haircut and a bath, and et cetera, right? Because you might forget your mitzvah. So I would say it's not something internal, right? I would say this is an external factor. Okay, does anyone say differently? Does anyone say, no, this is something more internal? It's not just a cult or a kula external principle that you shouldn't be misrational, that you should watch yourself. No, there's something unique to the takana of Bedikas Chametz that makes it have to be at the beginning.
Rabbi, how about the fact that the light will help in the Bedika? Slight bit of light.
That is fascinating. You know, the Taz actually says Lehefech. The Taz says Adram, the dark helps it. The reason the Taz said it has to be Tzeisim Chavim is because the dark helps in the Bedika. You'll ask, why does the dark help in the Bedika? Because the candle is better in the dark. You'll ask, why is the candle better in the dark? And
interest.
I do make for an Issa
Lomad.
I'm not willing
to talk about
that. I have to do it because there are things that I don't understand about that. In the Yerushalmi. Okay. And, you know, maybe I'll have an epiphany until then. But the you might say the light will help you, but generally the post will go the opposite direction. The Gemara says in Daf Daled, why at night? Because candles are better at night. And the Taz specifically says candles better at Seis when it's darker. So I hear the Taina. I hear common sense, the Taina, but within the context of the Rishonim and Achronim here, I don't think that's the way we should go. So who says something different? So here we have the Levush and the Tas, right? The Tas.
You also have covered. You also have a Girsa Leor that seems to imply in this direction.
The first Rashi rejects Leor.
That Rashi rejects.
Yeah, I'm not sure. By the time you get through with it, it necessarily implies this, but not sure. But if you look in the Levush and the Tas say the same thing. Although the Tas says a little bit more of a cage, let's stick with the Levush. Says the Levush a different shot for why Dafka B'Tchilas Alayla. What does he say, why Dafka B'Tchilas Alayla? So he's based on the Gemara of Dalai Lama that we haven't read yet. The Gemara of Dalai Lama says, why are they attacking it at night? Say two reasons. Because the candle's better at night. We'll have to understand what that means. And anyone remember the other reason?
Everybody is home. People are home.
They are. So you're not saying you're home at night. You're not home during the day. Again, don't imagine nowadays. Once upon a time, there were no electric lights. Everyone went to work during the day and everyone stayed home at night because there was no place to go at night before electric lights. I mean, there were candles, but it just wasn't practical to work at night. So what does it mean, Shabni Adam Mitsuyim Vatehem? So what would you and I have said it means? What are they Mitsuyim Vatehem? All night. All night you're home. Where else do you go at night? All day you're not home. All night you're home. There are obviously exceptions. There were night watchmen in the days of the Gemara also, and there were unemployed people, you know, who stay home all day, and sick people, whatever. But in general, you're out all day, and you're home all night in the old days, right? And therefore, we'd say, what if the unseen vatehem at night as opposed to during the day? But the Levush makes a chiddush here. And the Taz says something similar. Says the Levush, no. He says, what's his lashon? Lekach va'ua b'tchilas halayla. They made a dafka b'tchilas halayla. It's not that it's all night, but lo yisrasha. But like, it's reason plus, not just reason. Like, don't put it off because you might, you know, never do it. It's a fixed time. That everyone's home then. What he's saying, they don't mean, let me say better, they don't mean that everyone's home at night. They mean the time everyone comes home. Okay, the Taz says that much more clearly. They want to make it a certain time. Why do they want to make a certain time? Because it's something which you don't do all the time. They want to make a kavua time for it. And therefore, they need the time when everyone comes home. When does everyone come home? At the beginning of the night. That's the kavua time. The ikar is to make a kavua time. The Taz has a much clearer lashon that it has to be shan mevureres. But, Levush, I think you could read it in form of two factors. He says no. He says, al pi le gemara and avdala ben aleph, b'sha'ah shebnei adam mitsuyim bivatehem. Aren't people home all night? Aren't people home all night? No. There's a specific time that people are home all night, I think you would say. But they go to sleep, this, that. It's not like there's a specific time when everyone comes home. And they want to make it a specific time so that everyone would remember it. Not Shlo Yisrashel. So this, I would say, is an internal factor. And after all, is everyone always home? Let's think about it. Sometimes people go to sleep. When do people go to sleep? Some people a little earlier, some people a little later. By the beginning of the night, everyone's just sitting in their house, right? So they wanted to make a special time, an internal factor that Tiknu Bisha'am Nivureres. I'm going to sit in my house from nightfall till 10 p.m. before I go to sleep. Yeah, but they wanted to shum first that everyone's in their house. And the Taz adds that everyone comes home, so it's like makes a roshim on you. So they picked a specific time. And that's an internal factor. It's a technical point. It's an internal factor for purely technical reasons. But it's not just they pick 12 hours, but don't be Miss Rachel. No, they specifically pick the beginning. The difference, I think, would be that for the Ran, if you do it later, you're Mekayim Takana just as well, but you violated the Zahiras of, you know, of Xerah Shem Miss Rachel. I think for the Levush, you weren't Mekayim Takana properly. Takana was Davk at the beginning of the night. Because that's a special Sha'a that they picked that everyone would do it. If you do it later, you're really doing Tashlumin, just like if you do it the next morning. If you do it the next morning, right, the Gemara says enough, yeah. If you didn't do it at night, do it the next morning. Would you say you're going to kind of cut it properly? No, it's Tashlumin. So I think that's not for me. That's why I'm going to external versus internal. You know, is it a full key of just a side? Okay, I just want to end
sort of similar to Hanukkah candles.
Exactly. More similar. I mean, for the Rana, it would be similar to saying Kriya Shema at 9 o'clock at night. Okay, you should have been more careful, because what if you had forgotten? But Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema. And for the Levush might be more similar to Hanukkah candles. No, they set a very specific time. And you did a different time, which b'di'evad is okay, because they said at least do something, but you weren't kind of cut up properly. Like, how much pressure is there to do it on time? Definitely more so, according to the Levush. The Gra goes even further. And the Gra quotes Rishami that we mentioned before, but at the time I said, that's just Rishami. Like, who would bring that into the Bavli? And the Gra seems to bring that into Halacha L'maisa. It's a little unclear. Does he mean the Rishami is just like a remez to this general assumption, or does he mean I'm really quoting Rishami? But what does Rishami say? The Rishami say, well, I do it at night. And one shot of the Rishami is like the Bavli. Ah, because the candles, etc. What's the other shot of the Rishami? What does the Gra say? Why do it at night? We'll end with this Gra, and then we'll just pick up with a few. There's a couple of details we'll save for next time. Says the Gra, that Lama Balayla, Rav Yossi says the candles go at night. Rav Mana lo Amar came. Shmartim sayom hazeh l'dor seichem. You have to be shomer the Yom Hazeh. What's the Yom Hazeh? Again, Rashi said it means Hezvah, but Yishalmi says means Yudalit. Asa shua yom v'alaylam shumarim. The day and night have to be Meshomer. Okay, and so why don't you do it on the 13th, and then the whole day and night? Sure, no, because he also thinks that candles are better at night. Add the Gra. V'nafgamina ma'asha'amr shehe yom alaylam shumarim. Shitzar livdo b'tchilas alaylam. The riot of your raivet. Says, where's the raivet? What's the riot of the raivet? The Yerushalmi. Yom alaylam shumarim. Says the Gra. Yerushalmi. I say, Sheyehe, Hayom, Yehalayla, Meshumarim. What's the Kiddush? The Yerushalmi, it's a big Kiddush. We'll have to come back and see if we can justify it, which I personally think we can, although not everybody was throughout. The biggest Yerushalmi said, this is Doraisa. Ah, B'digas Hamis Drabanan? No. What do we mean by B'digas Hamis Drabanan? If you do Bintel, B'digas Hamis only Drabanan. At least according to the Bavli, maybe the Shalmi agrees. But let's say you don't do Bittel, right? Remember, the Ran says they didn't use to do Bittel, the Miri says they didn't use to do Bittel, right? Then B'dika's D'oraisa. What is the mitzvah D'oraisa of B'dika? U'shmartim esayom hazeh. B'dika is not just to get rid of your chametz. B'dika is to have shmira. Remember, one of the themes of Pesach is, it's not just about the end result, it's about the kiyum of shmira, the chavayah, the experience of shmira. When should you have the experience of Shmira? You should have a whole day of Shmira before Pesach. Pesach should come after a whole day of Shmira. Someone else might have said it should come after 12 hours of Shmira, after this many hours of Shmira, that many hours of Shmira, 6 hours of Shmira, who knows? No, it's really about Shmira. For the Gra, I think what he's saying here is that it's not just about when you're likely, right, technically, how to make sure everyone gets rid of their chametz. And like, this is all just a technical way to make sure that you do what you need to do. No, it's part of the Chaviyah of Pesach. Already Yudalit, right? I said last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was, that Yudalit afternoon might be part of the experience of Pesach. That's not such a big Kiddush. Says the Gra, recently, Yerushalmi, no. The whole Yudalit is really part of Pesach. Shira, Yom V'layla, and Shumari. You want an experience of Shmir the whole Yom V'layla. And therefore, if you do it too late, you don't have a 24-hour Shmir, you only have a 23-hour Shmir or a 22-hour Shmir. And L'chachila, the Torah tells you to have a 24-hour Shmir. Why do you need a 24-hour Shmira? What, you're going to be more likely to eat chametz on Pesach if you have a 22-hour Shmira instead of a 24-hour Shmira? No, I think it's just because of the kiyum of Shmira. Why do we have Shmira matzah? Why not just make sure that our matzah is not chametz thick? No, because there's a kiyum of there's a kiyum of Shmira. So the Gra, I think it's the most fundamental. That's just an internal factor. But for technical reasons, that's an internal factor. They wanted to find a good time when everyone will do it. So it's internal to the takana, but just for technical reasons. No, this is D'oraisa. This is very fundamental. It's all about what we mentioned, what I mentioned at the very beginning as a chiddush, based on this, the kiyum shmira. When do you need a kiyum shmira? The kiyum shmira is not about what it'll be by the time Pesach comes, but what you're doing now. L'chadchila, yom v'layla m'shumarim, it's the day, your dal is the day of kiyum shmira. L'chadchila, you need to be shomer the whole day. How are you shomer the whole day? By searching for chametz. You can still eat afterwards, right? You're allowed to save some for breakfast. But but you're still having this shmira b'chametz, because even if you save some for breakfast, you're putting it in a locked cabinet and making sure it doesn't get confused with anything and making sure no one can access it without permission, etc. So this is a very fundamental way of looking at b'dikas chametz, and one of the things we'll have to come back to maybe a little later is, you know, how fundamentally is b'dikas chametz a kiyum? You know, or is it a kiyum just for technical reasons, they made it into something you have to do, or is it just, you know, to make sure you don't forget and leave your chametz around. Okay, so a few more details we'll have to probably continue with next time. The next year will be Monday Tzom Gedalia. Right? I think we're all hardy enough that we can handle, I think we're all hardy enough that we could handle shiur at 5 p.m. on Tzom Gedalia. But okay, you have to remember that the Tanakam against Rosh Hashanah Ben Gamliel. But where I think we're all hardy enough we can handle shiur at 11:30 on a Tainus. Even though usually I'm way behind and I don't have my chorus ready until almost Shabbos, but I realized I couldn't get away with that today because we don't have shiur, we don't see her on Sunday. So here is the, everyone please take a copy of Makoros 8, which I made short because we have less days of Seder. For those of us, I'll send it on the email, but everyone who can access, if you click the button chat on the bottom of your screen, you will see it's in the chat as well. So you can just download it from the chat of this Zoom session. So I will we'll pick up Amir Tashem. You know, when we were in second grade, it was so funny to say, see you next year. We'll pick up Amir Tashem on Monday and wish everyone Ksiva Chzima Tova. May we all be inscribed for a year of good health, a year of Surah Tovos, a year of growth in Torah and Mitzvot. Yamale Shemis Baruch Kol Mishalos, the Beit Tova. We should hear Surah Tovos for this whole strange world we live in, and for all of Am Yisrael, and we should return to normalcy as soon as possible. We should all be inscribed by Alto L'Chaim Tov and L'Shalom.
Amen. Amen.
What?
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to be here in person on Monday. I mean, the Zoom people don't make a difference. I think I will be here in person on Monday. The plan is for everyone who works in this building to come in during the Seder and to hopefully have permission to come in during the Seder. Whether that plan will work or not, you'll find out Monday morning. So if you see me here, you'll know that I'm here on Monday. If you don't see me here, then you'll know that I was not allowed to come in on Monday. But I think as of now, the general plan and the felt of American institutions is to have the employees come in during the Seger because it's not a complete Seger and some people are allowed to go to work. And I've been told I'm one of them. So I'm hoping that's correct. If no policeman tells me otherwise, I'll see you Monday morning.
Rabbi, may I ask a question?
Please.
Going back to the Rashbam about the Mitzvah, I didn't mean a change in the Girsa. I meant that even if you, Dafka, because you have to daven Ni'ila, and Ni'ila, and that Mandoma still holds the Mitzvah Ni'ila, Eino Tzarech Mitzvah Arvis, so therefore you can get away with a cheap Mayruv, as you call it. You can get away with a short Mayruv because...
I see what you're saying. Now you mean maybe it could be more Makelin Mayruv because you're already Yotzei Ne'ila somewhat.
That's what
you're saying. Hey, Vanti. That's not what the Rashbam says.
Right. Well,
I mean, okay. I don't believe what the Rashbam says, but I hear the Taina. Now it's a little funny because Ne'ila was only 7 brachos, so why are that Davka... You'd still have to say 7 brachas of Myriam. You wouldn't have to say 18.
Like that is number of brachas.
It's not the part you're popping. Right.
Well, Myriam,
it's just that, you know, the reason why I'm not totally attracted is because you are doing 7 of Myriam. You're just skipping the other 11. Why? Because you're doing 7 of the Elam. So why should the 7 help you skip the other 11? The 7 should help you skip 7. So you can say, no, it's just like a partial kiyum. But, I'm not sure that I'm totally... You know, that I'm totally, in agreement.
I don't think the seven and the 18 make much of a difference because,
well, in principle, it's not about 18. I hear that.
In principle, you could have said 13 on Yom Kippur too. You could have said 18 on Yom Kippur too, and just be master Yom Kippur b'emtza kilu.
Okay, Seder, maybe, right? Depending on who you ask.
All right, whatever. Anyway, siva v'chasima tova, and thank you very much.
Rav Asaf.
Yes.
I wanted to look at the Lavush as an idea of all Am Yisrael are doing the Bdika exactly at the same time, in this time zone.
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Although I don't think it's Alt Achdos, etc., I must admit.
Right, I wanted to add that.
Okay, I hear the Taina. I think he might be more just like to be Masudr Diknes than Achdos, but I hear the Taina. I hear the Taina. Okay, I'll wish everyone a Ksivav Simatova.